You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about the weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. It's Dwayne.
Happy New Year.
It's Niall.
Happy New Year, and how are you?
And it's me, Brian. And on this special lockdown week, we are covering the anime that aired the previous week when we weren't locked down, but probably should have been. December the 28th, 2020, to the 3rd of January, 2021. And we're going to start and almost end with Mr. Osomatsu, Episode 12, AI. In which the punchline of the previous 11 episodes is finally revealed to us all. This was the point. This was the point of those characters. As they are helping out the brothers. And the brothers don't want any of their help. And so the rice balls decide, well, if you don't need our help, we're not needed here. We'll go and get new jobs. We have failed as AIs in our purpose. And
they won't be replaced. They'll actually ask to be replaced.
Yes. And so they learn this when a different AI is there the following morning. Well, first of all, they're very upset that the rice balls have gone away when this AI turns up. But as soon as this AI says, in 10 days, I'm going to have you lose your virginity, they suddenly change their tune.
Yeah, initially he's like, in 3 days I can get you a date. In 10 days. Yeah.
Who knows?
And also he's got such a handsome voice.
Like the mother is infatuated.
Yes.
Understandably.
Sexy voice.
It's
a terrifying kind of multi-arm tentacle robot with this weird kind of big lips on his face. But otherwise, yes. If you just close your eyes, it's much more appealing.
Yes, it's the fella, the voice of Gendo Ikari from Evangelion. Is the man doing that voice? I had to look it up because I was like, oh, this is definitely a very distinct voice they have picked for this character. But then they're hanging out one day at the cafe where a fax comes in, which is a map showing them where the rice balls are.
Of course, it's in a fax of our fuckers.
I know.
And so this story is set in modern day Japan.
It is.
Or they still use the fax machine.
And there's a public fax machine at cafes, apparently. And so they follow this trail to find the rice balls. And along the way, they keep on finding clues and help that will get them. Every time they start flagging, something comes along. And then immediately after they discover it, we see in the background, oh, it's the robot again. He's the one who's leading them to the rice balls. And
what they want is to find the rice balls, so he's helping them find the rice balls.
It is, because it turns
out... But he's making it seem like it's their own initiative, despite the fact that, hey, it's 6 bottles of bottled water out in this mountain trail.
Yes.
That's convenient.
Here's a rubber dinghy when we get to a river. When they come to a fork in the road, a stranger just rolls up and points the direction they need to go. But it worked because it's the brothers, it works that they're not suspicious at all.
Yeah.
It's established.
They're just like, well,
behavior.
Things are turning up our way. Yeah, yeah.
So I used to coasting along whatever it is anyway, so this probably would not make much difference.
Yeah, because they kind of miss them, and that's why they want to go and see them again. And so they eventually find them at this demolition site where they're now working.
They're doing the jobs too dangerous for humans, which means they're probably going to get wrecked, considering we see like a wheelbarrow full of robots getting dumped as well.
Yeah, it was a very decadent wheelbarrow of useless robots.
The shots of like the scientific community that's trying to get rid of neets or something, I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to
develop the singularity, as it turns out, don't we? Because this is what the actual plot has been.
So they're working alongside
like
the robots.
Applauding the efforts, and you also have robots in the same crowd also applauding the efforts. I feel like, are you just trying to make up the numbers to make it sound like to make yourselves happier? These robots are the applause robots to make us feel good.
No, they're in cahoots, man. It's the Illuminati.
It does feel like the robots are using the scientists, particularly when the human claims a responsibility and then the robot ducks out the way so he gets hit by rockets.
We've all seen the Matrix, the Animatrix. We know they'll turn on you.
But yes, how they achieve the singularity is where the punchline lies. But they try to get the rice balls out of the out of the place of work. So
they initially can't until they find six convenient ninja costumes.
Yes, ninja
cat's eye costumes.
Cat's eye costumes. The second, well, the first one I saw this week, and this was another thing I watched a bit of, but I might talk about next week when I finish watching it, where the cat's eye costume showed up again. Yes, cat's eye costumes. So they break in and they end up getting captured, and they basically ask the rice balls, what is it that they want? And then they do the maths, and it turns out what they want to do is just give up and become neats themselves. And this prompts them to turn into giant robots and blow everything up.
Just destroy all, not even all humans, just destroy, really. Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun to do.
So yeah, this is how the singularity is achieved. Not by, as in Kamen Rider 01, a robot following its dreams. It's achieved when a robot decides to give up on having any dreams and become incredibly lazy and selfish.
Well, if the main font of information that they have is six fucking layabouts and their associated degenerate friends, then the AI that will develop out of that would follow suit.
It would.
It's just programmed to do it.
I like that. That's the trigger, though. I like that. That's the human behavior. That's a behavior which isn't found in the animal kingdom. It's human behavior that a robot has to copy to achieve the singularity. Was a nice science fiction idea. I just wish they hadn't taken 12 episodes to get there. But
yeah.
I did like the scientific analysis afterwards about the health. They were describing like how often they died, how terrible they'd been at taking care of them. And then, yes, after they've achieved all this, they've all settled back down to normal, and they're expected to come back with the brothers. But no, the brothers don't want them to come back because they've got their new friend now.
Wanted to come here, say bye, say, what do you guys want? And then leave with this robot who's going to get us laid?
Yes, they're going to have an orgy in Roppongi, is the report.
Orgy.
All aboard the orgy bus, which has been pre-booked for this. And the robots start blaming each other for being the other one's fault that they were left behind.
This is the point at which they finally get to do a proper she as well.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the thing they needed to instigate their humanity and the ability to know exactly the right time and the right way to do a she. That was the entire episode. It was just the entire past 12 episodes was just getting to this science fiction idea and this punchline. But they're back next week to host a recap episode of stuff which happened in the first two series.
All right. So
I saw the job thing again, and I thought, I was like, oh, they're doing the job market again. And I was like, okay, that could be fun. And I was like, oh, it's just repeat.
I don't
know. Cool.
Yeah, the premise for next week's episode is that because they only showed up in this season, they don't know what happened in the previous two seasons. So they're going to find out for themselves. I've no idea whether they've done anything to it in the same way. Was it the first season had like a weird gimmicky New Year's Eve episode as well?
Definitely each one did. I can remember Dion and Decapan, they were doing, they're hammering the mochi down, and then I think somebody gets hammered into that and smashed into the mochi.
I guess, come on, robots, it's all there online except for episode one, which has been expunged from reality.
Yeah, I guess it might be worth watching to see if there's a reference to that.
I'll talk to Ichimatsu more, and he'll know where the torrents are for that. He'll be able to sort them out. But then he gets some kind of weird malware uploaded onto the rice balls. That makes him even more generous.
Yeah, so I'd be two minds as to whether to carry on watching this next season or not. I mean, I didn't not enjoy it.
Like, I this episode, I enjoyed so little that I went back and went through the episodes. I was like, okay, I like this half. I didn't like that half. Didn't like this whole episode. I was going through it, and I was like, it came out like maybe 50-50 of just okay, and then stuff I didn't like.
Yeah, I might have skimmed this last one just to see, okay, what was the climax of this that they were trying to arrive at. And it's just like, okay. This is like, could have been doing lots of other things in the meantime.
Like, even in this one, there was a couple of jokes I liked. Like, I liked the things of Awesome Master just sitting down, what do you guys want? And then he gets bit in the dick by a robot dog. I was just like, that's funny. But, like, more of that, please. And more, less of this, like, oh, no, not the robots whom I hate. I hope they're okay. You know, fucking, come on, show.
Yeah.
Even at that one where they trip to hike up the mountain, where it's just, oh, yeah, this is... It's quite enjoyable to watch, actually. It's them doing a very banal thing. They aren't being, you know, too out there with it, but it's just six of them to serve this crowd, just piss about. And I, in a way, it'd be quite touching. They're bonding in their very crude and puerile way, but they're bonding as brothers together. And then every episode.
They're good characters to, like, play off each other in different combinations. Like, I did like the thing where they're walking home from a wedding, despite the fact it wasn't funny. I was just like, oh, this is a good character piece. I thought that was well done. There's parts of it I've enjoyed without it being like a dick joke or something like that. But like, it's just, I feel like it's just completely diminishing returns.
It is. And when you've got a comedy being written by Michiko Yokote coming up next week or the week after, I can't remember which week it is. But anyway, shortly. I'm not sure I need to be watching this.
Mm.
Particularly when Dragon Quest is still going to be ongoing. Jujutsu Kaisen is still going to be ongoing. Though again, I'm not sure I'm going to be watching that due to its weird pacing issues. What I might be watching is a late arrival on the scene, which was Oh, Suddenly Egyptian God. Of which we had episode 4 this week. Which was called
Suddenly Horus.
Horus and Set, and then Suddenly Bad Blood.
So how much of this did you get a chance to watch, you guys?
I watched up to episode 4. I watched episode 1, then I watched episode 4 just in case I didn't have time, and then I watched 2 and 3. Because I had enough time.
I checked the first one and then there's this one here. It's like, I know what Egyptian gods are. This should be no problem to jump in on. And it is very straightforward. It's Horus and Set in a sort of very childish Wile E. Coyote and ruler situation.
Mm.
Yes.
That's the vibes I was getting as well.
Yeah, and Horus is continually saved by an otter god who keeps on helping him out without, I guess, the other gods noticing. But yeah, it's... and you also have the narrator to help you out as well. That's
And you also get Set's... after his plan is foiled, he says something in English that is a compliment. It's
You're
like,
a speedstar!
Cool.
It's fantastic.
Because his first plot is to order the most complicated order at the restaurant, so Horus will get it wrong, and then he can chastise him.
First plot was he's trying to make him slip on a banana.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yes, then it's the order.
And it becomes
then it's
beautiful skating or something. I
just
forget what
digging
the
a hole
English
for
is.
The final.
Yeah, the digging the hole was the very, like you say, Roadrunner kind of thing. Where it's just like, I don't think this is going to work for some reason. Yeah.
And then generally the second part of the episode will be the narrator explaining the god or gods in question. And in this case...
So like the first half is like them in the world doing their thing. And then the second half is them in a white fucking... what was that fucking something duck space where they can just do whatever they want?
Like duck a book.
Yeah. Like taken out of context. And I'm just going to explain these guys to you now. Which is fine.
Yes.
It's a fine format.
Yeah, he insults Horus by calling him a penguin. Unlike his very proud jackal head.
Hmm.
And then we have a little flashback of him destroying Horus's sandcastle.
Well, he's the god of destruction, so I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of like as well that the campaign to try and differentiate Set's head from Anubis's head a little because they're very similar.
Yes.
But when you see him in hieroglyphic forms, it's like, looks a little bit like Anubis, but it looks more like an anteater or what? That I reckon it was some other sort of wild dog he was based upon, like, because Anubis had jackal all sewn up, so. Some other canine or other thing.
Yeah, the narrator mentions that Set's portrayed with lots of different heads, and this is just the one he's having in this series.
Mm.
Yeah, like 3 is probably my favorite, just because it's so far, because it's just Thoth being a smart ass. And it works in a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference and then tells you to look it up yourself. It's not going to explain it to you.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, I'd find out more as you read the mag.
Yeah, then episode two with Bastet. Bastet is like the little sister god, but she doesn't talk.
Like, I was trying to remember what the fuck Bastet was, like, what the deal was, because this was basically like, is annoying cat.
Yes.
That's what this god is.
But also also annoying little sister.
That, like, you can't do anything about her. That kind of, yeah. But little sister or cat, whichever way, it's a weird combination of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I did like the randomly appearing and just like shaking those fucking things and making a lot of noise. I was like, that feels like a child, yeah.
But yeah, it's 5 minutes. It's effective. It doesn't quite hit the same things as Kyklos in terms of historical gags, but it definitely makes me go and look up Egyptian gods after watching it.
It's a better representation of the Egyptian gods than the Gods of Egypt movie.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Might be a little
bit. Even if they start dancing about pizza, it's still a better representation.
Is it better and more accurate than the JoJo second half of part three?
Yes, it probably is that as well.
Probably, yeah. I mean, some of the designs really appealing to me as well. They reminded me of like Patapon or something like that. I don't know, just the kind of simplistic forms. It's nice.
They're pretty nice. It is like the motifs from like the wall of a pyramid. So just given a kind of like the very cute mask rounded mascot treatment.
They're very egg bodied.
There's here's like Anubis, the mascot of Cairo Prefecture or whatever like that. All came from this like that weird medjed that just like here's like an Egyptian like mythical character, looks like someone was wearing like a sheet over their head.
And all we know about them is that their name means the smiter,
and they shoot eye beams.
And no one everyone seems to know that they're there, but no one pays them any attention for the most part.
Oh yeah, and I did like the stuff with the seesaw as well, of using the seesaw to weigh souls.
Yeah. I was like, whew, hard day's work.
You're going up, you're going down. But yeah, next week's episode is suddenly Ra and Apep, so we'll get to see about Dad.
Oh, Kenjiro's new dad, the adult in the room.
Yeah.
Could be fun. I mean, like, it's simple that it's like, even it just being okay for like 5 or 6 minutes, you're not gonna fucking complain. It's grand.
I don't like it. I was quite fond of reading about Egyptian god stuff when I was a young lad, so it's something that still amuses me and interests me in whatever form. It's probably explains why I like Yu-Gi-Oh so much as well, actually.
Yep,
it's within my DNA to just like be drawn to these things.
Right, and Niall, can you tell us about last week's Pretty Cure that we missed?
Last week's Pretty Cure. It's not a hell of, not like a big thing. Chiyu, she is seeing herself, you know, as taking over the inn, taking over the family business, but also she's big into the high jump. But then your younger brother says, when I grow up, I also want to be like the innkeeper. And says, oh, that's great. Well, that means the inn will go to the sun, and you can pursue your like your track dreams. You can be like a professional athlete. But I kind of want to run the inn as well. I don't know. She's just kind of confused about this. So it's like, I really want to be the innkeeper, but I also kind of want to be a better athlete, because my self-proclaimed rival Tsubasa shouldn't be like postcards from America. You know, there are Americans in the photograph because it's got the big noses. She's having a great time over there. So maybe I should be considered as well. It leaves doubt in her heart because she doesn't know how to decide. Things, well, and in fact, the family all think that, oh, we're making things easier on her because now she doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen to the family business, because it's like the young lad's going to take care of it in the future. But she still wants to do it. She wants to be the boss of the place. And it puts kind of doubt in her mind. Master show up and have a good point, actually, in a sense, because Shin Doine turns up and makes a monster and says, I do this because I'm devoted fully to King Bjorgan because I love him so much. It's like, only with that full devotion can you possibly achieve your goals. It's like, you know, you're not quite wrong, because if you're trying to split your interests across a lot of different ways, like, maybe, yeah, you could just do like a half-assed job of both. Maybe you just kind of focus on one thing and really go into that, and then you'd be a good job of it. But I'm like, oh, I don't know. But Peggy Tan talks sense of her, said, dude, just do both. If you like both of them, do both of them. You're like, what, 12? Just fucking do both of them for now, and then what'll happen, will happen. You're right.
So, also, as an athlete, you're probably monster. Going to retire earlier, so you're probably going to need a career after. So, innkeeper after athlete?
Yeah, think about it. And the family are like, oh, so yeah, sorry, dude, we thought for making it easier on you. But sure, you want to do both, no problem. It's like, oh, big sister, I'm going to be the best innkeeper. Oh, you know, you will, because I've ordered you, little bastard. I'm going to survive fucking in the takeover with my inheritance. Yeah. It's just kind of more lighter one, kind of like, you know, a little kind of easy breezy one, because when it comes back on January 10th, the girls are going to the Biogen Kingdom. They're going to the Germ corruption demon underworld, and they're going to check it out themselves.
Yeah, I just saw the episode title. It feels very much like Shonen Jump comic getting cancelled early and having to whip to the end, or in this case, not having a full years of episodes before the next one's due along.
Well, it was his last battle. I think this is like a false climax. It's going to be something they're going to discover, or something will be revealed under. It's like, oh, things aren't what they seem after all, and that might upend the status quo a little bit. And then that'll probably leave a kind of nice, okay, you got to collect all these things so we can assemble the final power to beat the bad guy at the end, like they often do in the back half of these things.
I think it's got 6 or 7 episodes left by the looks of things.
Oh, okay. I knew the next one was coming soon, so I didn't realize if they were going to run concurrent or what.
Yeah, I suppose if you've already announced the next one coming. Then
yeah, February 28th is when the tropical Rouge Pretty Cure.
Let's get away from the germs.
Let's go on holiday. It seems like it's a fantasy program. Where, remember going on holiday?
Imagine you could get in a vehicle and go somewhere else. Whoa, what a crazy fantasy.
Hey, whoa, slow down, buddy. Slow down.
One of them appears to be a mermaid.
Sure.
Apparently the themes are cosmetics and ocean.
So, like, waterproof cosmetics, presumably.
Instagram influencer pedicure.
Alright, yeah, okay.
Anything else, Niall? I believe there's something else you checked in on.
Looks real quick at Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle. That's sort of fun. It's a fantasy setup. Oh, it's a fantasy kingdom, and the Demon King has kidnapped a princess and imprisoned her inside his demon castle. It's like, ha ha ha! You will surrender your kingdom if you want a princess back alive. But just fine, and there's being held hostage. But they're giving her a nice cell. It's got like beds and furniture. They bring her 3 square meals a day. But goddamn it, she can't sleep. This bed is just so cheap and awful. And the monster outside making tons of noise. So what she does is she just regularly breaks out at night and goes around the castle gathering up materials and things to try and get better pillows and bed sheets and stuff so she can get a better night's sleep. And these are all a kind of little like RPG quests. You got a quest to get the crafting materials to make a new pedal for yourself. See, initially, there's like 2 little cute teddy bear demons that bring her meals. And you think, they make good stuffing for a pedal. It's going to take a fucking knife to them, but they're cowering in the corner. It's like, wait a minute, I got a better idea. She kind of brushes their fur and gets all the excess out. That'll be the fitting for the pedal. But also, they enjoy it so much that they'll. That's their bribe, so they'll bring her the key to let her out so she can go out to the castle again. And she very soon becomes like the terror of the castle, because she's going out like stalking them, like going out with a giant pair of scissors to like cut up like a living like ghost shroud and just like cutting up his body to make a new bed sheet with. It's like, holy shit, you see what happened to the ghost shroud last night? He's fucking dead. Yeah, she turned him into bed sheets. What the fuck? The Demon King is like, what the fuck's happening, lads? I'm going to go down here and give a piece of my mind right now. Hey, princess, what the fuck is going on? She's quite peaceful sleeping right there. Get her in the morning? Yeah, we'll get her in the morning. And repeat, it's just kind of like a fun little little gay thing. No, it's just every little sort of sketch or little quest she goes out, so like, you know, a few minutes in length. It's just the right amount of time getting in and out. Yeah, it's just like, I'll probably watch a little bit more of it. I don't feel like I need to urgently get to it. So I think it's nice to dip into, because it does seem to be like a nice solid bit of comedy. I kind of keep like Kaguya-sama was a War in Reserve as well, because that's just, again, solid laughs and like really good, simple idea that it just builds on very well. And this is very similar to that. It's a very simple idea it starts off with, but you can just build on it in so many different ways. And lots of good fantasy weirdos in there. Like, one of the main dudes is some kind of really, really oddly proportioned hedgehog or porcupine man. He's like really got a really big round body, but he's got tiny little arms and legs which are covered in, he's got metal gauntlets on. This very kind of one piece character proportions he's gotten them, all right. So, you know, that's the kind of weirdest that. And of course, there's a hero who's trying to adventure his way there and rescue her, but she probably will have none of it. She's trying to get a good night's sleep. It's pretty fun. It's got a nice aesthetic going on to it as well. It's I like the storybook fairy tale look it's got going on to it, right? So this is a little breezy thing. I'll look at it when I need to remember to, and if I need a quick laugh.
Right, on to the topic of the title episode. We're going to talk about Shonen Jump on the podcast rather than after the podcast for a change.
Yeah,
we've done it by accident a few times.
Yes, we do.
And also, there was fuck all to watch this week. So, yes. I even watched Vlad Love because it had been two fucking weeks. And I was like, well, I fucking have time to now. It was hornier than I thought, but in the ways I didn't expect. There, that's my review.
Gotcha.
Right.
Asked you to start mid-February, possibly on Amazon Prime. Certainly Amazon Prime in Japan.
Right.
So who knows? After, when was the last thing they had? Pet, I think.
Yeah,
I think
Pet that's was... that's the thing we watched anyway.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've just been monitoring. It's just TMS putting stuff up from the 70s and 80s.
I suppose the interest is really just. It's probably one of the periods where they're not interested in it very much, and then they might get interested.
I was going to say, there's no twin engine shows since Pet.
When there's enough things in the particular wheelhouse that are getting made, then I might snap it up.
Yeah, because I don't think there's been any of the twin engine studios that they had the stuff from have done anything TV related since Pet. I think they've been working on a film.
Yeah. A film, my man. or onto that. But,
onto One Piece, chapter 1000. And is
cool. Skipping ahead a bit, so catch up.
Yes. So, spoilers for everything we talk about. And yeah.
Someone meant to stay. We finally get what happened to that poster.
Yes, that's the main thing. Cut it out.
I'd say before the spoilers, no, they didn't get the One Piece yet. Calm down. They'll get there.
Yeah. The poster was nice, actually, because it was, if you look back at chapter 100, this is I completely beat up. Oh, yes, it's been this long. Chapter 100 is only a couple of them. It's like a very modest treasure hall. We got like one crown in there and a couple of.
They got like a chest full of treasure. Yeah.
Two loudest gold. The 1000. The skull is vomiting gold coins out. There's a whole pile of them there. Everyone's wearing crowns and gold chains and scepters, and Jimmy's got a big, like, golden scimitar. It looks awesome. Everyone's having a good time. We made it, folks.
We've got more to go. And this is called Straw Hat Luffy.
So it's the introduction chapter. So if you're coming on.
A real jumping on point. As Luffy finally gets to the top of the tower so he can face off with Kaido and Big Mom. We also get Zoro thrown to the roof by Marco, who's fighting King and Queen.
I did like it's funny. He's like, is he invincible? He's like, no, he just regenerates because he's a phoenix. You can't take him out.
Didn't realize Queen. He had the mechanical extendable limb. Yes, mechanical extendable neck as well. At least he's in dinosaur.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get more use out of that in the anime, because it's just kind of slightly in the background. Yes. It's like, wait a minute, he's got an extendo fucking neck.
And I guess, yeah, we know he's got some connection with the Vinsmokes, don't we? So I assume
Vinsmokes, or I thought it was some connection to what's the big scientist guy we haven't seen yet?
Vegapunk. So if he's connected to Judge, he'll be connected to Vegapunk and Caesar as well. So he's maybe another lab assistant or something. I suspect we're about to get a massive flashback where a lot of people's backgrounds will be filled in by association with Kaido. We got Yamato explaining D and the journal, and been holding on and waiting for the prediction, and we get some more of Yamato's history with Ace and how Ace got his Vivra card. We learned that it's not just Luffy that Odin had written about. Apparently, powerful pirates leading the next generation will come swarming into the new world, and they'll all be the ones to strike down Kaido. And we get a nice double page spread of said pirates, as we get Kid, Killer, Luffy, Zoro, and Law versus Big Mom and Kaido.
Yeah, it was like, let's kind of mix and match things. It wasn't going to be all the Straw Hats all in a row. It wasn't going to be all the supernovas all in a row who've all been drawn to this place at the same time somehow. Even though a lot of them are there, but it isn't a lot. Not often up on the roof either. So it's like, no, these dudes who have like maybe the most beef with these people right now, they're the ones who are going to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I like that Killer was there, because really, out of the five of them, Killer's the one with the biggest axe to grind against.
In recent times, he's been the one dicked over the hardest.
And it says these, and it matches obviously the stuff at Sabaody Park with these five characters as well. So,
it also matches. Is it Arlong Park where he just walks fucking right by them and goes like, "Hey, you cool?
Yes.
We got it." I was just like, "Oh, that's good." I know they've done it before, but it's still fucking good.
Mm. Yeah, I hear the two of the biggest holders from the old generation who are still holding, clutching on to things right now, and they're going like, "Ha ha ha! These upstairs think they can take the Big Mom. You know, this long man said to me, he says to me, he's going to be the king of the pirates. Hey, where is he going?" And it's like the lack of respect, because they're the old generation. You're old. You're already dead, man. Forget about it. I don't care about you. Hey, Mom, my buddy, you all right? It's like, we tried to hold him back as much as we could. All we have is a shame. The show Lord Orton. Die, but not quite die.
He's probably going to be fine.
Yeah.
And Kinemon asks Luffy if he'll put Wano on his back. And I've suddenly realized, I wonder if that's literally going to happen with Onigashima, and Zoo will suddenly appear, because we know Zoo's parked nearby from ages ago. And whether Zoo will like stand over the city to stop the island falling on it,
or is Luffy just going to hit Kaido with a country?
That could also be
it's possible.
Oh shit, that'd be fucking cool. Like, you know, we're going to bury you in Wano, we're going to give you the biggest tombstone we could find. Kapow!
Your entire island. Yeah.
It would be some apocalyptic spectacle. Like, there's just been kind of increasing in scale over time. Last biggest recently would be like maybe the Birdcage in that not Spain country.
Dressrosa.
Dressrosa, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, massive devastation on a massive scale. It's like, we're going to have a giant elephant team, we're going to throw and throw a whole country at this place. People think it's the fucking end of the world out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, it's just pirate stuff, don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
And then we get like a little bit of flashback to all of Luffy's interactions with various people throughout this and previous arcs, as he gets ready to go Gear 3 and give Kaido a black eye with a brand new attack.
Yeah, I presume he's doing the what he learned in the prison, yes, where it's just let it go right at the last second. And that's how you fucking leave a mark on his face.
Mm.
Really bust him up. It did a really good job with the surprise, like, oh, he's going to punch me, I can take this. Oh, what? That feels different. Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's like the one eye, which is done further in black after the punch, in like the tiny little reaction thing. And the fact that he does this, then he gives them what they're asking for of him, saying that he's going to be king of the pirates again.
I saw someone point out the thing, because it's paralleled with Yamato and Ace and stuff, that anytime someone has said X is going to be king of the pirates, there's always been like someone with like a bandage on their forehead and a bandage across their nose. And I was like, what a weird bit of synchronicity to do every fucking time. So it's someone reacting whose faces have been fucked up, going like, what? Or like, what? And that was the case here, is obviously he's fucking up Kaido's face, I guess. I don't know.
It's just, it feels a lot different for Insomma, because like Luffy, he has the coat straight across his shoulders, like all the best ones do. They have a coat that they wear on their shoulder, but never actually put their hands into the sleeves.
Yeah,
that's what all the greats are rocking, and it's kind of to show he's on their level right now. He's not up and coming. He's going to be right now. He's going to be going, keep on going straight past you.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the picture. Yeah, Laura and Kid did that as well.
Yep.
It's the
killer move, man. It's like fucking wearing sleeves is for losers. That's why I'm wearing sleeves. I can't help it.
Yeah, man. I gotta do that right now.
Go for it.
I'm getting a little warm anyway. This is actually a dressing gown, so.
Ah, yeah.
That's the way. Yeah, I think it's like not quite five. It's like a. It's like 505 or something was the bit when the three of them stepped out of the slave auction as well.
Mm.
Which is 13 years ago.
Jeez.
So what do you think about that? Maybe it's time to finish him in 4 years' time.
Yeah. Like, what was his theory? People go off a thing after like 5 years? And he's surprised people have stuck around this long.
I was checking as well to see whether mangas have gotten past 1,000 chapters. No, and I go, oh man, it is great for One Piece. It's run on this long, and it's something that has this more sustained interest in it.
Yeah.
But it's going, oh wow, it's made 1,000 chapters now. And it's set a record of one saying, blah, blah, blah. There's been lots of comics before that got to 1,000 chapters. But in Koichi Kami, got near 2,000 before that stopped. If we're going by volume count, then One Piece is only 25th. Just behind Case Closed.
That makes sense.
Which also has, also ahead of it in chapters by 47.
Yes. Also has more extended periods of hiatus, though, than One Piece does.
Hmm.
So probably will overtake it, I would guess, at some point. I guess because it must be getting harder and harder to think up mysteries at this point to make sure you've not done that mystery before.
Cooking Papa, got about 1,488 chapters out there. I can see how like with a cooking thing you can keep on going, but at a certain stage you're bound to repeat yourself and cook the same thing, right? You can't have a different dish every day.
What's go on? Chapter wise,
He's 639 in 199 volumes.
It's longer chapters, doesn't he? I think.
Yeah, that is too as well. Takao Saito is much more sharp on the uptake for that. He probably wouldn't repeat himself because he was either doing art or doing scripts for the Onihei manga, and then he is pointed out, lads, you sent me the same like brief for this chapter, like, you know, you sent it like six months ago. It's the exact same story. Everyone's saying, can't pull the wool over his eyes, he's a sharpshooter.
It's a brain full of plots.
Yeah. I mean, the most he recycled is just like, here is a very ripped from the headlines piece about Gogo having to get involved with some political assassination. This changed by the decade, or whoever is the US president right now. So you go from Bush to Obama to Trump to whoever's going to come, Biden, and So look out for Gogo 13 saving / trying to kill Joe Biden in the very near future.
So, yeah, I think we've got all the fights laid out pretty much. So we've got the Emperors versus Supernovas, Sasaki versus Frankie, Black Maria versus Sanji, Who's Who
finally
versus...
Finally going to have to kick a woman.
Yeah. Yes, finally. Who's Who versus Jinbei, King Queen versus Marco, Ulti and Page One versus Nami, Usopp, Tama, and the Komino. They have a plan, that's the thing, isn't it? Tama's got a plan that she's planning, and Nami's fully on board with this plan, but
well,
us...
Nami's good for plans, Usopp's good for plans, so yeah, I'm down for that.
I feel like Usopp is the perfect one if the plan is to fire those dumplings into monsters' mouths.
I like the idea of... because Ulti and Page One are kind of two dopes who would fall for this kind of scheme that they would pull.
Yeah.
So if you kind of agree with it, they kind of the lesser powered members of the crew, even though they're just as good as the rest of them, they're joining in on all of the checking out the big mook scenes anyway. But you kind of miss sometimes. But because I haven't seen it for so long, this Usopp getting by with his cunning rather than I don't know, the latest super move to develop or something like that.
He is currently unconscious there because he got headbutted by Ulti. We've got Apu versus Drake, though that currently is incredibly one-sided because I think he might even be in Drake's mouth the last time we left him.
He's not looking good.
Just make the sound of somebody going to the toilet and spit you right out, because then that sound becomes real. It's like, ah, no.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
We've got Perispero versus Carrot and Wanda.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't. So the people I think are unaccounted. We've got Hawkins, who we've not seen since he was leading Drake to his doom.
Just the right guy to jump in and
any time now, but yeah,
he could jump in and either assist or hinder whoever.
We got Chopper working on the antibodies for the Oni virus.
Chopper versus the virus, I guess.
Yes, I guess he's fighting Queen on an existential level. Robin is looking for the road poneglyph, and Brooke must be somewhere.
What I wouldn't give for a Robin fight, but yeah.
I assume Hawkins versus Brooke might be the fight, because I wonder if how Hawkins' power works on a man who could disconnect his soul from his body.
Wait. What if he can only predict living things? Because Brooke is not really, he's kind of alive a second time. I don't know. It's a weird one.
And of course, we got the mystery of who brought Tama to the island.
I hope it's the elephant.
She said his enemies brought her.
Oh, she did. Yeah, right.
She came on board an enemy ship.
We might have a whole fucking pirate ship full of probably Blackbeard's guys.
The rest of the Charlotte family are still circling Wano below the waterfall, as far as we know. Caribou, we've not seen for a while.
Would Tama have come with Cypher Police Zero? Her?
That's what I was thinking. They were also around.
Yeah, they've been hanging out, so could be.
Yeah, that was who I was thinking. They were also my list of people who might show up. Orochi's headless corpse.
Yeah,
presumably a couple of heads corpse. Yeah.
Yeah. CP-0 Hiyori, who I don't think anyone's mentioned in forever. And Toki, because I reread her first appearance again this week, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure she would have time traveled again rather than just burnt to death.
And that's any time now, so yeah.
She steps out of a time portal with a rifle, kind of in the head, and then steps back out again. It's like, who are you? You will find out in the future.
There is, I assume, because like no one else has got that power as far as we know. So if she died, that fruit would have reappeared somewhere. And surely somebody would desperately want it. I know exactly who would desperately want it. It would be Teach.
Because he's a greedy fuck. Yeah.
Would there be much knowledge of it, seeing as
that's true, yes.
It was in Wano and they've even closed off from the rest of the world. So how the hell would they have heard of
that? That's true, yes.
Wasn't she traveling around on Roger's ship and stuff? So.
Yeah, she.
Yeah, but found... did anybody see her time travel?
That's true.
Right, gotcha.
Obviously, there's also the chance that Sabo and Co. will show up because we know they were trying to find the weapons, and this is the source of the weapons.
Hmm.
And my prediction for Teach is, though, that it'll show up right at the end and run off with the road poneglyphs.
Yeah, that seems like him.
He's like the fucking Dorenzo he is. Gets in on the shoulders of everybody else.
Oh, and of course, Oda himself said at Jump Festa that a certain red-haired pirate would be on the move this year.
They're quite Nami?
That's correct. Though quite often the things he predicts for the following year don't show up for another couple of 2-3 years down the road.
Mm. Because these things take a little longer, and it's like we keep saying, it's like, how the fuck is he going to finish this in 5 years?
I think it's feasible. The easiest way.
It does have a lot to wrap up. It's feasible, for sure.
It's just draw everybody into conflict with each other.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was surprised at the efficiency of the Wano flashback, where it's like, this is this one character's flashback, but all these other characters were there, and that fucking ties up a lot of loose ends. So things like that.
And it kept you coming on as well, because, okay, this is Odin's backstory in particular, but he fucking met Whitebeard, and he met fucking Gold Roger, and then he was privy to all of these things that they saw as well, so that kind of fills you in. Oh yeah, while we're here, because while we're here in the past, we may as well show you a bit of this as well, and that keeps on the hook.
So if we do the Kaido flashback, it'll do basically all the Rocks pirates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably King and Queen and Jack as well.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe a bit of a poo if we see how he was already on board before that meeting. But yeah, having said that, there's still loads of stuff set up that needs to get to. Like Jewelry Bonnie and Elbath and all that stuff. Mm. And catching up with... I guess he could probably catch up in one chapter with the fired Shichibukai. Who I assume will eventually become Straw Hat allies.
Mm.
Edward Weevil. He's not been mentioned forever.
Oh, boy.
I forgot about him. He could also be the enemy who's come...
Yeah,
though I feel like we'd know about it because I'm sure he would not have been able to sneak around.
He's very loud. Yeah.
He'd be running around shouting after Marco because he was. Yeah. Oh boy. Anyway, moving on. My Hero Academia, chapter 296. It's called The Hellish Hell.
It's the Roland Emmerich disaster film. Chapter of My Hero Academia.
Yes.
Survey the damage, the horror of what heroism and vitalism can do.
Yes. And it looks like Midnight and a whole bunch of nobodies have died.
That bothered me because it's like, hey, Midnight died. And I was like, fuck, that fucking sucks. But then it's like, and all these guys, I was like, I think I saw that dinosaur man somewhere. Other than that, I don't have a fucking clue who these guys are.
It went like Midnight went crust to the number 5 hero.
I was like, that guy looks familiar. I'm pretty sure I see him in a background shot somewhere, but I do not know what his deal is.
I think that's Jet Boy and Jet Girl. I'm not sure. Jet Boy 2.
And we're not specifically told that she's dead, just that they find her crumpled mask.
Oh, no. She's
it could be that she's just like retired because she's been horribly fucking maimed.
But my worry is that this is going to be Manita's development to stop him being a little creep is that his favorite teacher had to die in order for this to happen.
Her skin was burned off, so she can't produce her pheromones anymore.
It's a weird version of fridging for a small perverted child, but that would be that.
We'll
again.
See wherever that goes, but it's going to be a while because we're getting a prison break arc, which I'm actually all for because that means it's probably Stain versus Nomu's round two.
Hmm.
Because. All for One inside Shigaraki's body declares that he's going to send the Nomu he got away with to Tartarus to rescue his real body.
Hmm.
And then I was like, oh yeah, All Might was going to go to Tartarus to speak to Stain. And we don't know whether he did or he didn't. He was requested not to, but he might have done. And was that just
he always does things that he was told not to. So
yes. Yeah. Was he just going to warn him that if they failed, that was probably the next part of the plan? And so, as it do be a solid.
I mean, like again, Stain has the right beliefs, but enacting them in a horrific fucking way.
And he would listen to All Might, because All Might and Deku are the people he admires.
Yeah.
And yes, obviously, All For One is certainly not a person he admires, and he's in the cell right next door to him.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the main part of the, I don't really like the whole friggin' death and doom and gloom kind of shit, but I did like the bit with Ochako and Froppy, like, rescuing people, and then one guy's just, like, fucking shell-shocked, and he can't fucking... He's like, I need to fucking change careers, man. And I was just like, yeah, this the kind of horror kind of setting in on people. I get it. That was done well. But, yeah, most of it, I was just like, it feels very shocky value kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, because sort of like, you know, like, the kids are kind of just trying to get on and do things with us. Probably as well because in their time as a class of
students, they've been
exposed to their fair share of fucking villain attacks and atrocities. And maybe they're kind of a bit more inured to this. But it's maybe as well the resilience of your generation to upheavals and shocks and crises like this.
Yes. Yeah.
It's what they've been living for most of their existence on this planet. So we have these heroes who have probably been having a pretty cushy go of it, coasting along, stopping a few bank robbers every other week, and then natural disaster occurs, and they're not ready for it at all. It shows how fragile and flimsy the hero system actually was to stand up to any kind of actual threat. It's all cardboard. It's all comic books, smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, they also capture most of the paranormal...
Fucking compress lives, what the fuck?
Yeah! No!
Bullshit.
Those are new bandages. Yep, all good.
There's a big chunk of him gone.
I feel like this is to separate everybody, because I'm wondering if the next arc is the one which separates Spinner from Shigaraki.
Yeah,
by bringing
him
face to face with Stain in some way, rather than having this internet meme of Stain as his ideal, and meeting the real guy who can come along and tell him his shit, because that is the best thing about Stain wandering around telling people their shit. and then that will just leave Dabby with a Shigaraki who's trapped inside his own body by the real villain. I will say the Vigilantes from the previous week does a much better job of explaining villains in this world than the actual series has ever done.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And it even does it with the thing of, like, this drug is driving them crazy. And it's like, but your power's going out of control is inherently a fucking crime.
Yes.
And it's just like, okay, yeah, and then you have a criminal record, and then you can't get a job, and then you go into criminality. Yeah, I can see the fucking rolling thing of this in society, and that's how it works for us, but without superpowers.
How many villains locked up in prison right now are just due to maybe just manifested a quirk right then that afternoon? Maybe when they're still a teenager, and then, you're going to prison. But what? I don't fucking know what I'm doing. I didn't intend to go out and shoot an optic blast into a primary school today.
Like, Wolverine is always popping his claws into people by accident. Like, if that happens once, you're a criminal now, forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's actually reflective of genuine things that do happen to people who are discriminated upon and incarcerated unfairly in a modern world, but based on some element of who they are.
And that, like, it has sympathy for an absolutely insane teenage rabbit violence hero, and sympathy for, like, actual violent fucking criminal.
Yes.
Rapper. Where it's
underground,
like,
pit fighter. You know, he's making his living how he can. He wants to beat
the shit out of people because he enjoys it. Like, it's not just him, like, going, like, oh, I can't make money anywhere else. I was like, I just love beating motherfuckers up. But it's just like, but he's not a bad guy. And it does that successfully.
Yes. And it makes sense of, like, why he'd fall in with Overhaul rather than actually be a villain later on. Because
if there was a fucking hero pro fighting ring, he just would have fucking done that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and somebody was doing this. They had set up the arena for it. You can get paid to do this. It's like, hey, this is fucking ideal. You know, I can just, like, go on there, have fun, and make a bit of dash when I'm at it. It's of course I wouldn't do it, but this is illegal. It was a sanctioned Quirk boxing league, I'd be in there no problem, but we can't have that.
Oh, you do see Midnight's hand in a panel. So I guess
I was wondering, was that attached? Was the thing I was fucking doing? Yeah. Because that's how fucking horrific they go with this fucking thing.
Well, yeah, it's not quite full blown Geoff Johns DC superhero carnage. You don't see heads
flying
off.
I feel like it's implied that.
It's implied, though. Yes.
You don't see the blob eating someone or anything. It's fine.
I didn't have Dr. Doom just standing there on the edge of the crater or shedding a single tear.
Motherfucker, you shot the Baxter Building into space. You don't need to talk about this.
They could have done that. They could have cut to Gentle Criminal in his prison cell, watching it on the news.
That's very impolite.
Perhaps his chief.
Yes.
I thought very gentle at all. Mm. Not gentle in the least.
Now, I suspect Compress is there as to be like a character who can help pull Shigaraki out later on.
Living up to his name and getting compressed slowly and slowly into a smaller human being every arc.
Less and less of him every time, yeah.
I wasn't overly, didn't particularly like the chapter, but I liked what it set up because I was like, yeah, Stain.
Yeah.
Give me some Stain. I mean, I suspect it means Stain's dying in the next arc, but at least we'll get some, it'll be a payoff of his story arc.
Like it'll be less like a death like Midnight for shock value, and it'll be more like a death that has significance to the plot, which is
yes.
I think that's more fine. Yeah,
and I would it feel... go ahead.
I was going to say it would tie in as well because Stain lives on even while incarcerated in prison through the message he put out there, which it can be read like wrongly or as you say, it could be misinterpreted, and it would only be fitting then that he goes out standing up to this as well, and then he killed him, but his legend only gets even bigger after that, and then his idea gets out even to even more people.
Yeah, well, they have to decide they can't tell people who it was who prevented him from being kidnapped or broken out. It's like, oh, we can't tell that everyone that stayed. Say, so, oh, maybe they decide they do because they want to, yeah, discredit
like
him as a villain.
Had to Rorschach him. He knows too much.
I think there's parts of, like a lot of parts of My Hero Academia that we all have problems with, but like overall there's an interesting story there and there's interesting bits. Like I really like the parallel between Stain and All Might, as in the craft, the guy who had a dream of wanting to do a thing, and the as part of the system, the publicly crafted persona and its significance. And Stain, who had a belief and became like an internet meme, so like kind of becoming something by the culture rather than becoming something by the by the people in charge of the culture.
But also something that he isn't.
All Might. Yeah, and a thing he's not, but a thing he's come to represent, exactly. It's got a lot of interesting ideas in it. It's just like, I wish it could be a little bit better.
They just sometimes just feel like an idea.
Yeah.
It's not fully fleshed out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, if it was allowed to kind of drive off from it, the way it went for a bit, but it has to go like, no, Deku, Deku's back in here. Hang on, there he is. That's the boy.
That's one of the reasons like we're enjoying Vigilante so much, because like the current arc is like a flashback to a character who hasn't been in it for ages, and it's just like, oh, this is all great.
You're seeing him in his prime as well, even though he was still fucking
on the way out,
more than capable when he was active at the start of the comic. Seeing him, assuming with his power, being a cool dude, like sneaking in like Solid Snake, into the underground fighting ring, and trying to do a quick job getting it out. It's kind of to see.
It feels like it's better at world building than the one that constantly forgets that Deku is the main character and then has to be back in front of the camera.
It has time to do it, because what's going on in the background there is comparatively smaller scale to what's going on in the main comic. It's about getting to the root of this quirk increasing like drug ring, and destroys that. It's going to be something to do with All For One. But we're dealing with all of his big plots in the main comic. We can just kind of see the effects of what he's doing and how that's being dealt with and the impact that has on society, on hero society.
Well, on like a very street level, yeah.
Yes, on the street level. That's it, on the street level. That's it.
Then you got Food Wars, Shogukeki no Sanji, Chapter 2. Last chapter was October 2019.
I don't mind that happened. And that's kind of... like as well, like One Piece has gotten to this like a big, this is just kind of big like property now. Almost to the extent you see in other comics that we might be reading here in English speaking places, where here is like a different set of artists and writers like taking this property or character and it's doing something different for it a little bit, but it still feels true to the spirit of the characters and original story that they're from.
Mm.
It's just done. Yeah. It's approached in a different manner, but it still feels in keeping with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Sanji borrows Zoro's sword, makes some sushi. People's clothes fall off, but not Zoro's. And then he complains that his sword's been perverted by a dirty-minded chef who was using it. The end. There was also some characters straight out of a filler arc involved in it as well. It was readable. It didn't really do anything for me, though. I think partly I've been spoilt by the sexiness of when Boichi draws One Piece characters, that somebody else trying to draw sexy One Piece characters was not working for me.
That's about it. I'd seen, like, the problem as well, because they so frequently do it, and they've been doing it actually the last little while, where they have the banner image on the...
Oh, yes, we should talk about that.
On the website, where, like, the artists or whatever comes to draw under their favorite One Piece character. Yeah, I think... Ah, yes, it would make sense for this person to like this character if it's a favorite. When Gege Akutami or Jujutsu Kaisen putting an Arlong, I thought, actually, Arlong, yeah, because he's very jagged and pointy.
Yes.
That actually makes perfect sense.
And Kabuto for the Mori King character also makes perfect sense, being the one insect themed character there is.
Mm.
And obviously, Smoker for Undead Unluck.
Because it's the same dude. At least he cops to it. Like, ah, yeah, this is where I'm coming
like
from.
If he was to draw a Marvel character, he'd draw Wolverine. We know. It's fine.
Yes.
I did like the Abominable Bunny Rabbit for Megu.
Magu-chan,
that's it, yeah.
One Death Deep Curse, I couldn't do this.
The
fucking... Oh, who was it as well? The high school family dude putting in Ben Beckman. It's like, you're the motherfucker who is always putting...
Ben Beckman's on Sakamoto.
In the top 10 the character polls, like, even though it's been literal decades since he's appeared in the actual comic.
Yeah, Ben Beckman's Sakamoto.
That both of those make sense, because I was going to say about the other guy, I was wrong as well. It's the dad character. It's just like the cool dad. These are the guys who like the cool dad.
Yeah, they're the grey-haired men with guns. Is the Black Clover one because Shiroishi looks like the sister that...
Oh.
That Asta's in love with. No, not Mimosa.
Oh, the nun.
Yes, the terrible thing of the two. L2 main leads are in love with a nun. And that's why the girls are doomed in their attempts to woo them. Yeah, because he's got the same sort of eyes and grabbing of his heart he makes when he thinks about the nun that raised him that he's in love with.
It's a weird way to keep your shonen protagonist out of romantic entanglements.
Yes, it is.
Have them be in love with a nun.
And be incredibly pure-hearted and will not peek on people when they're bathing. How dare you suggest it?
Despite the amount of women who just like fly out of their clothes in that comic, yeah.
Yes.
It's magic. They're summoning magical armor. So they can't be wearing clothes and magical armor at the same time.
Or they're in a volcano. So they can't wear clothes in a volcano.
I didn't read this extra bonus chapter of Promised Neverland yet, though.
I
couldn't figure out how it was related, except for the world was fucked. And
it's
I was
not
like,
really, it's just like a pilot for a different comic altogether. Or yeah, just a one-shot from a different thing.
It's grand, I still love the style, I still like the way they put together a story.
It's probably just dealing in similar themes of the people who like see life as being cheap and it's just a commodity to be bought and sold. And it's the deceptions and lies you tell them to try and get a better product.
It wouldn't surprise me if this was like the original thing they pitched that then eventually became Promised Neverland. That's the way it kind of like could seem as well. yeah, your orphans being bought and sold and that kind of thing. Mm.
Yeah, how about instead of like unnamed country in which there's recently been a civil war, which is like all too close to real world tragedy, how about it's in a fantasy realm under demons instead?
This is more palatable, yeah.
And then the allegory would still work.
Mm.
And then in Jujutsu Kaisen, we're on to chapter 134, part 51 of the Shibuya incident.
Everyone finds that one crater, everyone that people have been fighting in.
Yes.
They all start rolling up onto that. Hey, what's going on here?
Hey, Ghetto. Everyone have a go at Ghetto, and then we discover that it's not Ghetto, it is actually Noritoshi Kamo, to which Noritoshi Kamo is like, me? They go, no.
The first... Or whatever number he is.
Yes, and he might
his
not
brain,
even be that.
His body anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Someone whose machinations have caused a whole lot of people's trouble. And then the... I can't remember their name. The androgynous servant of Sukuna shows up to block.
Oh, yeah. That's where they are.
Choso, rather.
Mm.
Yeah, and again, we're thinking like that Yuji's possible curse technique or his whatever fucking domain it is to kind of project some part of himself, his personality, and like kind of sway him over to his way of thinking. It's like, hey, man, can't we just be bros? It's like, you're right, we are bros. Hey, don't stop trying to kill my bro. I'm going to kill you. So it's kind of a weird thing, yeah. Like, it's... some way of just kind of able to influence people like that. It's some kind of like domain thing that he's not even aware of, I think.
Like a shonen rallying people?
Yeah. The sort of thing which would really annoy Dak in Black Clover.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Friendship? No. Training.
Training and plans. None of this friendship nonsense. Yeah, so it was like, oh, here's all the other characters that have shown up for this issue.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling like, wait a minute, did I miss something? Because like, it was a whole other fucking cast, basically, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was like a chapter here in between where it was just like, hey, we couldn't make a deadline this week. We were a bit of fucking around.
I was fine with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, next in the lineup, we've got Sakamoto Days, in which, yes, it definitely airs more towards the John Wick end of things, as we learn about different secret organizations.
Oh, there's different themed assassins! Yeah! Fuck yeah!
Pizza Man Assassin.
It seems like Pizza Man has failed. I could go for a pizza right now. I'm just like, fucking, I love this evil cabal, they're great.
We get introduced to Nagumo, a master of disguise.
He's so good at disguise, you can't read his mind, except he's a bad liar and stupid.
Yes, Pizza Nakajima, Pizza Man Assassin.
So he shows up to deliver a pizza and then kills you? Like, it's not a poison pizza. He'll just, like, kill you with a gun.
No, yeah, it was like two pizza cutters, which presumably...
Oh, it was two pizza cutters. I mean, yes. I get it seems.
Serve you up.
Hmm.
But yeah, Nagumo is not a assassin trying to... Nagumo, rather, is not an assassin trying to kill Sakamoto. He's here to warn him.
He's an assassin, I think?
Yeah. Something like that, yes.
But Sakamoto says, don't kill him in my shop. My wife will get really mad at me. We're just going to lay low for a few days because they're after me, but they got to go to Disneyland. I mean, knock off Disneyland.
Yeah.
So,
panic, the panic there at its start. It's just like, boss, we can't go to Disneyland. We have to go. She'll kill me. Get in the car.
Yeah.
She knows a cabal of assassins are after me. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Yeah, so it's the Dodenkai are the ones who are after him. I do like how they're like, oh, I really want a pizza now.
Yeah, that is great. They're just like fucking like children. See pizza, want pizza.
And they're worried that they're going after Sakamoto because he used to be a member of the Order. And they're like, oh no, he's been retired from the Order for 5 years. We should be okay. And then he spots the camera they've got in the pizza box. And he's just going to lay low, but oh no, he promised his daughter they're going to the amusement park. And so that'll be next week's chapter, when presumably assassins will come after them in the amusement park, and they'll have to try and make sure that the daughter still has a good time while dealing with assassins.
Are they going to be amusement park-based assassins, like a roller coaster assassin? Here's hoping!
I would assume dressed in mascot outfits.
Oh, that'd be good too, yeah.
They're going to presume it's going to be the clown, but it won't be the clown, it'll be something else.
It'll be the balloons.
The coconut shy assassin. He's filled his coconut with nitroglycerin. You throw it just right, it'll explode and kill everybody in a 5-foot radius.
Still an enjoyable one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and obviously the final punchline is that he's more scared of upsetting his daughter than he is of any assassins.
Yeah.
Mm. I am not up to date on Mashal, Magic and Muscles.
What was that? You have the prefect of the Orca Dorm with some kind of musical-based magic. Doesn't seem very clever. He just conjures musical notes and they explode. I'm not sure how that feeds into music, but whatever. Mm. Against the dude who's a divine visionary. He's the older brother of the kind of wispy kid with the two-tone hair. He's at this point, he just summons a lot of swords and throws them at you. And they're just fighting off against each other. Then like, the headmaster was going, "Oh, you know why we have lions in our faces? Like, oh yes, like, it indicates how much power you have. So you have like the one lion person, that's what you say most people. Then you got two lions, those guys are really good. They're like, no, really good at magic. While somebody had a third lion, they'd be chosen by God to use magic." Like, yeah, that's right. Cut to the divine visionary dude with the swords. It's like, I don't know, it's just always there. He's just like doing it now, but it's just like, you know, his skin just kind of tears asunder, and then there's like a third line coming down. It's like, oh crap, he's mean business now. Looks really painful, actually. I don't know. I thought it was like a birthmark you were born, and then it's just marks you out as being good at magic or how strong you are, but maybe you just get better at it. It's just like,
your face peels open. Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Looked really gnarly. But yeah, that does some trouble now. And he's supposed to be really good as well, because when he entered a tournament to find out who was the best like mage between the ages of 13 to 15, and he beat everybody. The thing is, though, he lied about it, because he was only 9 years old when he did that. Like, oh, this guy's super good.
Oh, dear.
Then you've got A Gravity Boys, Chapter 50, the final chapter.
I hopped
back on. Well, I didn't call it. I read it on Twitter that it was ending.
No, you suspected that. I guess this wasn't on the record, but you suspected this might have been a case a few weeks back, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so this is the end, but there'll be some more chapters in the online jump to properly finish it off. But yes, it's basically after they used their penis magic in the previous chapter, one of them didn't come. One of them had died off panel. And so they have to bring him back to life by finding 108 pieces of his junk across the universe and then reassemble him. And that's what they do. And they get a happy ending, but no resolution. So presumably they might. I don't know whether they're planning on keeping it going or doing it. You know. I need to go back and read it, because I did like the last two chapters that I read.
Yeah. Just like Dungeons and Dragons, kids, they'll never get your rocks off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ayakashi Triangle, I've not read past the first chapter.
You just forget that it's there, because you get so used to reading it maybe on your portable device, which has the family-friendly things like Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, there's like horrific gore fest on it. But as soon as there's a hint of sex, as soon as a hint of a boob, it has to go straight onto the website or the Jump Plus.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's any good or not.
It's a...
You just don't hear about it.
I only hear about it when I'm reading another comic, which occasionally references it as not being as lewd as the creator's previous comic. In Roboco, will occasionally reference it as being safe to read as opposed to Two Love Rue or whatever it was called.
Two Love Rue was fine. Which is Two Love Rue Darkness.
That's it, yes.
That's from Mother's Cross.
Then Black Clover, you got page 277. The Vice Captain of the Golden Dawn. In which we barely deal with the Vice Captain of the Golden Dawn.
Oh, he's already fucking dead. He was dead when your man announced that you're dead at the end of last chapter.
And so we crack on with dealing with the captain of the, Blue Roses? Is that there?
Blue Roses, something to do with that? No, it's your magic adults are in there.
I'm trying to remember the color based off the thing, so I think it's Blue Roses.
Yeah. Because I think it's blue was the one she could use, and she couldn't use red until she got it figured out over the past 6 months of training. Mm. And then, guess what, fucker? I've got a power-up as well. And I also grow a crown as Charlotte.
Because your one was like super like, oh, you guys are lame. You could fight some of my zombie minions. Actually, if they're filled with fucking evil juice, that makes me work doubly good.
Yes.
So you're fucked.
I've been
double fucked.
Looking into the Heart Kingdom's arrays, and I figured out how to use the magic I can't use because the curse you put on me, you demon. And I can become the Queen of Briars, and I can rescue my boyfriend, even though he's not my boyfriend. But if I rescue him, he might be my boyfriend.
if you rescue him, he definitely maybe will be.
He won't. Because I'm pretty sure. I mean, the Ty story really makes it seem like him and William have more chance of being a couple than Charlotte and Yami.
But they keep like doing these things for each other, which don't make sense. But that's love for you. It really makes sense to anybody who's not in it.
But I did. It was a great power up. The character design is fantastic for the Queen of Briars. And it's going to be a nightmare to animate when they get to it in the anime.
Like, what are those frameworks for the large dresses called?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. But like a partially made one of those, a partially filled in, but partially not filled in, and also made out of briars. It's like, oh my God. Are they going to get, they better get some CGI models on that, because I feel like that's the handiest way to do it.
Yeah. And the fact that we've now seen two people power up and get crowns, I'm like, okay, this is what I want to be the thing. I want Charmy to power up and get a crown and knives and forks.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? They're all trying to be the Wizard King,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So you need to have the crown.
You got to have the look going, yeah.
It's a cool idea as well. I always love when there's a drawback to this ability, but you find a way to turn that drawback into an advantage, or you use it to be an advantage to you.
And she's using your own inherent, whatever cursed energy is in you, using her curse to lock onto you, basically. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then refuses to fight her. That was the other good way.
Well, that's grand enough. Well, hey, this is the military. We're just here to neutralize and stall you while the rescue team does their job. I kind of like it. Like, yeah, it would be good when, you know, you kind of ghost it. But it won't go to plan, though. She'll just whip out some other things.
Yes.
Oh, yes, devil magic. I wasn't using all of my devil power. And then
I have another devil.
So, and then they'll have to figure out how to use. Because there's also somebody else here whose name I can't remember, that kid's name.
The painting magic.
Yeah. Real? That's it. It turns out I can remember his name. The problem is they're all wearing these new uniforms, and I'm like, they've slightly changed their character designs.
I mean, it's the same head, but on top of the same, everyone's wearing the same jacket, yeah.
It's cold up there, so. And also, it's a Noct wearing one. It must be cool, like Noct. There's some fucking banging character designs in there lately. I really loved, from a few chapters back, Noct's kind of devil entrapment form,
yeah.
One of the devils anyway, but they're just kind of fucking like a from Bloodborne DLC costume.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
That's got to be what they're riffing on for sure.
This kid, she wants to fight Noelle, doesn't she, as well? So
so we had to let them soften her up, and then Noelle will come in from wherever the hell they're at, because they're like training with the elves right now.
Yeah.
So they got the deep in. So, of course, like, advanced team will get we'll soften them up, but they're going to get beaten. We got to get the real main characters who are going to arrive late. And then say, oh, you've beaten up all our friends. I'll get you.
Yeah. You've beaten up all the adults. Now you have to be taken care of by the teenagers and the ones in their early 20s, because you forget like a whole bunch of the Black Bulls are actually adults as well. They just behave like
I kind of like that, because it's the people reading Shonen Jump. We know a bunch of them are fucking adults, and it's just it's when you get into your 20s and 30s and 40s and later, you're still exactly the same person you were when you were a kid. So might as well just go with that in story.
Well, it's folks like us who are going like Asta, yup, Noelle, yup, Mario Leona, oh yeah, oh god.
But yeah,
just leave her be, cut to her every other chapter or even on the title page, have a whole thing going on there, but she's still punching that demon. Everyone else is getting defeated by the Dark Triad, but she's still out there wailing on that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing I really love about it. There's so many characters who you're like, oh, if this story had started like a few decades earlier, they'd be the main characters.
Like, they're already in their prime right now.
Yes, because Yami's character is an isekai character. He's a guy who appears to have come from real-life Japan and washed up in this fictional Europe.
Hmm.
As best we know from his origin story. And, somehow his knowledge of ki allows him to do magic, and it's a different sort of magic to everybody else's.
Hmm.
Because there's, no hint that where he comes from there was magic. So it's not like they're going to do a Full Metal Alchemist down the line and go, there's also all this magic from this other part of the world. Were these two zombies guys from the Diamond Kingdom?
Presumably, they also have the scientist from the Diamond Kingdom who was doing all that gear on them anyway. So it could be just like two dudes they found and stuck some gems into them, made them into mind control wizard zombies.
I couldn't remember if we'd seen them before. In an earlier arc. Right, what else is there? Probably all into the gag stuff now. Build King, Chapter 7. He's trying to demolish a vampire's castle that is built upside down and is actually the tooth of a dead dragon. There's a gag where the vampire dad has got an incredibly large head because he's constantly hanging upside down, so all the blood runs to his head. And also there's I can't remember what the dad's called, but his daughter's called Cork because their surname's Bat, because they're vampires. So she's Cork Bat.
Okay. She cheats at baseball.
They figure out this one that the way to destroy this is to hit it with the other side of the hammer. And meanwhile, while they're it's very hard to describe this comic. It's like Toriko, but rather than bizarre food, it's bizarre building practices.
Mm.
And there are such things as house bandits, which the dad's going to take care of while they're destroying this castle.
Like people who steal houses, or.
I think so. I can't remember exactly. I think I missed a few chapters. So I just hopped straight in when they got to the castle.
Sounds like when he's misunderstanding. Maybe it's like police reports in the paper. Somebody robbed his house. They robbed the entire house when they put it on the back of a truck. What happened? How do they do that?
Also, the other side of the hammer is for removing nails. What, like, it's a tooth. I assume it's not made with nails, right?
Or do you remove the tooth with the hammer?
It's just a sledgehammer.
Have you seen Hostel?
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of like a claw hammer.
No, it's a sledgehammer crossed with Son Goku's staff.
Right.
Because it was an extendable magic sledgehammer. It's got the same hallucinatory effect that Toriko did. But it seems to have got to it a heck of a lot quicker. Then we've got Dr. Stone, chapter 180. And it is called...
What indeed?
Does it have a name? Sickening yet beautiful.
Yeah.
As they think they've lost Sydney in the rainforest, but Sydney's...
they just wanted to see what direction they were going.
Yeah,
make them chase them out of it.
Stanley, even
Oh, yeah, it is Stanley. You're right.
Stan the man. Stan the boy. Stan the boy Snyder.
They've got some rubber boots, which, of course, Boichi has to draw sexily.
Yep, you've got now I can draw yep. all the ladies in thigh-high boots. Put that little bit of, what's that, the AT zone?
Yes.
In there.
Sure.
Then they make some meat. They discuss what's the most dangerous, the strongest thing in the Amazon rainforest.
Tsukasa! Close, but you're way off.
It's army ants.
And they're actually not a threat at all. They're actually going to prove very useful. They do not do the invented insect repellent because it's kind of a cheap version of that, I guess.
Yes, they put ants along with... God, help, what's my... Now my chemistry is long since gone to recognise.
It's not... It's alcohol.
C2, it's...
CO2?
No, there's two carbons. It's longer than that. There's two right. carbons, five hydrogens, and then a oxygen hydrogen.
Mm.
Can't remember.
Yeah.
But yes, it's they make a cocktail, and then they wash it on themselves to so they smell like army ants.
I mean, like Senku implies that they're going to drink it.
Yes.
But obviously they just put it on.
Then they take a raft down the Amazon River. They don't lose Suika this time.
You lose her once, that's a mistake. You lose her twice. You should have known better this time.
Then they discuss exactly how the planet was zapped thousands of years ago. And they get to the source of the zapping. And Suika...
I did like the way Suika is like, oh shit, I found it. And they're like, lucky?
And then Kohaku's like, I don't know, it's luck. Turn around. And there's a mountain of them. Or a ziggurat of them. And also like a weird stone explosion. So did he just drop them from the moon or something?
I don't know. It's like a big pile of the individual devices. Isn't
yeah.
It? I thought it was like some kind of large like thing of mineral deposit or something.
It's
like
a hard thing to get across because obviously it had all the little ding ding kind of shines on it. And then it had a shine on the same ones that were up close to the camera that you could see kind of thing. I think it was trying to make that, and it's like, all, like you can't draw all of them because it's too fucking many. There's a mountain of them. But yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what that stone outcrop is, because the only things we've seen turn to stone are people and swallows.
Well, unless it's a flock of birds.
That could be it. That could work. But it seems to be around, because when you get the wide shot, it's like much that outcrop's much wider than... maybe the swallows all return home. to this, they were carrying the. I don't know. I'm sure we're going to find out when they do some science on this stuff. We also get a couple of panels with the characters back in America. The watchmaker and a shot of the calendar.
So he did freeze himself. They figured out how to how it works, but how to make it work. I guess
yes. But they found the power. Oh, because she's looking at the calendar to find out when to get in touch with them, isn't she? That's why.
Yeah. They're trying to get the timing right.
Yeah.
Happening a thousand...
And also so they can say, we've been in the Amazon for 3 months or whatever, you know.
Sorry.
The passage of time,
It's happening 3,021 years from now. according to their calendar.
Yes. Yeah, good chapter, and obviously another pivotal one.
It was a very like striking visual. Because you're right, there was something that's unsettling about it. It was the way that they are piled up like that in this one particular place, like from one, like why here? Probably a very particular scientific reason for why it's here, definitely. But it's just it would be explained, but it's just unsettling.
Yeah, it feels very like weird, other eldritch thing. It's just like, okay, this thing is crazy, and it's like, oh no, we can break it down, we can work it out. It's like, what if there was like a million billion of them? It's just like, that's a bit overkill. You can already hit the whole fucking planet with one.
It sounds like something that like sort of something that maybe like a machine would do. You know, they would like send one device for every living being on the planet, every human on the planet, they would just like deploy one thing.
But we have to remember,
you just dump them all in South America.
He has Senku's voice. That's the other thing which you have to constantly remind myself. It's like, oh yeah, the villain has his voice.
I like some of the ideas behind it. It seems like it's like, again, an intelligence not like an Earth one kind of thing, which suggests extraterrestrial. It just like copied him. It's just like, okay, this is a voice. Okay, I'll just use that voice.
Could be, yes.
It's not smart, but it is like...
Yeah, I like
it does think.
Yeah. I also like the faces we get reacting as Zeno, Gen, and Senku's in this chapter. Mm-hmm. When you see those three, and it's like, okay, those are the guys who are probably the smartest ones here, and if they're horrified, then you can... You're like, oh dear, yeah, there we go. We're about to see something terrible on the next page.
Yeah, we got to remember about Senku was that he's like smart, kind of cool dude who has the plans, but not everything goes to plan all the time, and even he gets thrown off by suitably shocking tableaus of things. And that's what's good about him as well, is that at the core of it, behind his super science, behind his like seemingly limitless acumen for so many things, he's still a human being, and these things really get to him sometimes.
We'll see where it gets to in 2 weeks' time, because I have to remember that this is a double issue, so we're not going to get another one next week.
I noticed as well, I mentioned to go back and check actually, that it's getting close to chapter 200. Would there be some pivotal development right then and there as well?
Yeah, it could be.
And then we've got Hardboiled Cop and Dolphin, which I've not checked in for a month or so. So
not for a little while now.
I've been keeping up with it, but I do not understand this. What the deal is with this new cast and stuff. Your man Shark took some swimming lessons. They're going to check out that pyramid at the bottom of the sea to investigate this cult. They have to fight a bunch of dudes, and your man's Shark's air hose gets cut. So he has to get pulled away by the dolphin. And then the one there who's like, stop looking at me. Don't look at my butt in this wetsuit. And they're fighting her, and they're like, ah, you're at a disadvantage. You have to breathe oxygen. She's like, no, I fucking don't, motherfuckers. I was like, okay, you're a fish man as well. All right, what's going on in this fucking thing? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, there seemed to be a thing about, last time I checked, it was like humans willingly becoming fish people as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, your one was, it looked like it was a kidnapping thing, but she actually like chopped her own leg off so she could have a fish tail. I don't know, it's weird.
That's about where I was with it.
Mm. On to more firm ground. High school family. The English Wall.
Mother. Mother and father. Very good.
I think my favorite bit was when your man would not stop speaking bad English, and the teacher was just like, shut up. It's just like, no, don't do that at me. That's how bad your English is.
R sound, you go like this, you kind of roll your tongue. R. So say it now, teacher.
Yeah,
it's like a dog trying to talk to you. It's like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
We do learn that Gomez has also learned English.
They don't fucking get... He doesn't have to take extra lessons. How did that fucking cat get in school? I need to know.
I was weirded out by the shot we had of him not in his school uniform. I was like, why is that cat naked?
He's at home. He never wears his uniform at home. In bed?
What a delinquent.
It's just, I'm not sure... Can't remember the last time we saw him not in his uniform. But yes, the parents regret not trying to learn a second language.
I liked the way the dad was like, oh, on foreign business meetings, I had to get by on Moxie alone.
And miming. Like,
yeah, it sounds funny anyway.
Like when mom and dad are in bed and dad's relating his woes, it's just like some turns of phrase to use. And then from that point onwards, I had the voice of him as Hank Hill in my head. I think it's just going to stay that way from now on.
I think it's the big square head is probably doing that as well. Yeah, yeah.
Is it the phrase, screw the pooch?
No, there was something else in there. Oh, I was close to that.
Oh, just too much dang Japanese.
Too much dang Japanese, I'll tell you what. But then next day, like, okay, we've got to focus in on this now, and then next day it was like, what light from yonder window breaks, and being all like, ugh. Oh, you speak English so well. It's like, whoa, slow down. No one can understand what the thing you're saying. Going too fast.
Yeah, and the, also the panel of Ichiru, not Ichiru, that's the dad, isn't it? The son. Of like, it should be like the panel of him hearing his parents have sex, but you can hear his parents practicing English throughout the night.
Also, like doing a training montage of English. It's like, I can hear you guys. And especially because they're going, it's like, man, our kids are making like a show of us. I'm really proud of them. They're excellent at English, but like, we can't be left in the lurch. It's like, yeah, we got to beat them. We were going to beat our kids in English. Yeah, yeah. Let's practice English all night. And it's just like, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
They practice, they impress the teacher, and then they learn that there is no speaking exam in high school English.
There's no oral exam. It's a written exam, son.
Damn it, we learned all this for nothing.
For nothing? What? When are you going to use that?
We improved our lives for no reason.
I like the comparison where the rest of the students are like, because the teacher's kind of giving out to him, is like, you should have learned this in middle school and that kind of thing. And the other students are like, are also very nervous about their English accents. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, so again, by showing that they can improve to this extent, they're, you know, they're helping the rest of the class. I was like, that's nice. But another funny one, as usual.
It is.
It's all done in like half less pages than most sort of comics do in the same magazine.
Yeah.
It's so efficient. I love it. And if there's ever Gomez merchandise, I'm afraid my wallet's going to take a hit.
I was trying to explain how funny it is to Shan the other day, and I used Gomez as an example. It's a cat with a man's face, and I was trying to find a picture. If you look up like high school family Gomez, it'd be like, did you mean a high school production of the Addams Family? It's like, no, fucking. I found a picture anyway, and like, he was laughing straight away at Gomez. Which, why wouldn't you? You just see that cat, and it's like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Good comic.
Then we got chapter 26 of Magu-chan, God of Destruction. The mom, Ryu Miyanagi. And Magu's like, what's the... Who is this mom who is worshipped over me?
Is she a superior being? I will test the limits of her powers.
The mom's brought back an incredibly weird souvenir.
Well, you turn the crank in the back and it blows smoke out its nose. Where'd you get this?
How is it doing that?
It's from abroad.
Don't breathe it in.
Otherwise, it's a very wholesome comic, certainly. It's just, it is about very nice things. It's just being delivered via the turns of phrase of an eldritch being. So it's just...
Yes.
I did also like the thing of the mom kind of going is like, okay, so I'm working abroad because you make more money abroad, that kind of thing, at medical research stuff, and I'm sending money back home and I'm saving up for her to go to college and all that kind of thing. But she's got it in her head, oh, we need to save money and scrimp and save constantly. It's like, you don't, I'm sending you money. Like, so she hasn't been neglecting her child. It's just her child has got it into the head. It's like, oh, I can't spend money ever.
Well, that's it as well. That's kind of imprint upon a child that, oh, it's my fault somehow that mammy had to go away and do these things, so I should be better and try to save more so she can come back more often. But it's like, no, it's completely the other way around. But she's sort of like, I can make a chant. And again, she's totally really cool with the fact that there's like a diminutive, like, evil god. Keeping up. But she's like, make a chant, heads of keeping my daughter company all the time when I've been away, and it's been hard enough for her, and saying, well, she is my first disciple, who I want to take control of the world. Well, thanks anyway. I think it'd be very nice for doing that.
The man, like, asks him, is like, okay, this is the thing I want, this is the thing I want for my kid. What do you want, Magu-chan? And Magu-chan's like, I don't want nothing, I'm the god of destruction. He's like, you could take over the world. And he's like,
I have my book of disciples. It's like, yes, you get more disciples.
And she starts to make the thing of taking over the
more
world.
And more, and it's like, you can make disciples of everybody in the world. It says, yes, yes, disciples across the entire world. Yes, yeah. Make lots of friends.
And the man,
I mean, disciples.
He'll grant her wish. He's a god of destruction. What would you wish to destroy? Dirt and grime, please.
Yes. By using him as a squeegee. But the fact that he is really happy to be used as a squeegee as well.
I mean, he's destroying dirt. That's what he do. That's fine.
Because that is the difference that from Sergeant Frog, is that Keroro would be aware that he was being taken advantage of. Whereas Mako Chan has just got such an ego that he can't ever seem to...
Like, he can't possibly care, yeah.
Yes, he can't... Yeah, he cannot conceive that someone's taking advantage of him. Every situation, he turns it around in his head that he's the one taking advantage of people.
When they turned him into the Kotatsu blanket, and your woman's like, no, Mom, don't go underneath
that. That was a little unsettling. It's a very Cronenberg-esque flesh Kotatsu. Just get cozy inside that thing.
And man instantly falls asleep because it's so comfortable. Yeah, it's another good one. That continues to be a good fucking thing that has nice heartfelt moments and also weird, dumb, like, body yes. morphing fuckery.
This is very nice, you know, this evil eldritch being has to, like, cope with the loss of the puppy. And say, no, the puppy has to go back to its owner. We have to take care of it for a while, but it's got its own family. But no, he was meant to be my familiar, my hellhound of destruction. Why can't we be friends?
Sorry,
evil god.
You feel for the guy. I said it before, but it's what I wanted my dream comic of At Home with Shuma Gorath to be. Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, this is it. This is the one.
Yeah, I hope it goes on long enough to get an anime, because I feel like...
Oh, for real, yeah.
Hearing the character's voice, I think, will be...
Hearing all the evil gods' voices are going to be great. Mm.
Then we got Me and Roboco, Chapter 24, the Ruri and the Tezuka Award.
This is the least Shonen Jumpy of the entire... No, this is none.
Yes.
Hey, did you guys hear that One Piece got 1,000 chapters? It's probably because the author, Eiichiro Oda, is such a super cool dude. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
He's coming in, and he's probably heck out of it right now. Even though he should be working, should be by meeting his deadlines. Can't go to the award ceremony by rights, but he made time anyway. He's got to be here to inspire the next generation of young artists. He's there for them.
Yeah, I like the gag, because they foreshadow the gag with Oda, with the gag with Horikoshi.
Horikoshi, sorry, yeah.
And Toriyama. This gag, like, basically lots of riffs on the little profile photo that they have, the little characters themselves that have usually in the back of the book when you get it.
Hey, do you see that guy? His body is a left hand and his head is a right hand.
It was just this dude, and he's kind of like wearing like a gas mask. His hands were clamps, and then like, oh, because the lights went down. That's what it's gonna be Toriyama, because anytime he grants somebody a wish, just like, you know, the lights go down. Oh, like Shenron, yeah, but he's asked to pass the soy sauce, and then he passed it to him, and then this happens. You know, that's a curse of being one of the greats, I suppose.
And the editor shows up again, and
he's broken out of prison, I think.
Yes, and he's got a new name. He's called Combined Issue. He's broken out of an underground facility beneath the offices. Now you get all those silhouettes of the judges, who are just the silhouettes of their creations.
Yeah, you can see, oh, well, there's Goku, there's Luffy, there's the dude from Pew to Fuku no Jaguar. Well,
yes.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay, yeah, there's that comic in there, that's fine.
That horse comic. Maribo, is that it? It's the one I really want the anime translated, because I'm fascinated about what its deal was about a tiny little stumpy horse.
Yeah, I suppose it's just indicative as well that we're getting a lot more of these gag comics now by the wonders of the internet, of the international network. But for the longest time, a lot of the ones were going to translate it off because they weren't a cool action thing. We weren't getting even like the volume of that over in this. But now we can have this simultaneous thing. Now we can kind of catch up on all that.
That is nice.
So it's like untold riches that we've not been privy to for so long.
Oda arrives on his 1,000 sunny jet. He does. Knocks people unconscious.
His conqueror's happy.
Yes. Because he's got the fish head from his portrait.
Your one is getting him to read the manuscript. Or he signs the manuscript, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, take care of this for me until I get. It's like, Shanks.
What was Roboco's script that got rejected?
Chainsaw Man.
Well, I see Chainsaw Man didn't get mentioned in the awards, but no, maybe Oda-san, maybe he may have seen true value in my drawings.
Yeah.
Good. Robocop was out for the count. Yeah.
It's just like, I did chat to this before, but how to buy Promised Neverland.
Yes. I think the Promised Neverland was a better sustained set of gags, but I did. This was a right one for this issue, obviously, with the One Piece connection. But yeah, the levels of the Promised Neverland one of both promoting the author's own parody of Promised Neverland, the live action movie, the comic, the upcoming season 2 of the anime.
It's just, if you have to shill for the thing, then. Yeah, this will go all the way forward. I mean, you're still promoting the title in question, just doing it in that way. Mm. And as well, like, the author is being very effusive in their praise of their now colleagues in Shonen Jump. You know, this is people that they've admired probably for years and years, and now doing the same comic as there. Mm. And it's being very effusive in their admiration of that, and still having a bit of fun with it, a bit of... humor at their expense, but we know it's like, they won't mind. They're big legends. They won't mind me throwing a few ribbons that way, you know?
Yeah, there's always the self-depreciation gag, which crops up frequently in me and Rebecca, of the idea that this comic would not exist without that parody of Promised Neverland. Like, that
and
was
yet,
the
foot like,
in the
like
door.
You said, that issue still managed to promote not only the upcoming franchise or variations on the franchise, like the movie and the season 2, but like it's also going like, also check out the one I did. It's so fucking blatant, but it's really funny. It's a very good ad. Yeah.
Then a strip I have not read since past chapter 1, Mission Yozakura Family.
You just read everything this week, even with something you didn't read, just for the benefit of the listeners and viewers.
No, I only read chapter 1 ages ago. I refused to read any more of it. Did not care for it. Didn't actively dislike it, but I was like, not do anything.
It's fine. Somebody reading that for the first time, but it'll be their first one of those, and they'll really like it. I've seen one of these before. I've had these before. I'm grand. I'm full up on that. I already own one. I got two in the garage. Don't need any more of them.
Mm.
Mori King, I did read, and we're getting a time skip.
Because, really? Like, I was like, okay, they're progressing through this tournament really fucking quick. Oh, they're done. He's won. And it's like, and now you know, we need to die because we are insects and we only live for the summer. Fond Farewell is like, actually, you can make a wish and change evolution. I was like, oh god, what horrors are going to happen in 6 years?
become birds. That's how they survived their short insect lifespans and evolved into a horror species. It's like,
or we get some more insect-human hybrids.
Or the planet is covered in insects because insects are no longer dying.
Or the planet is covered in human-fucking-sized insects, which would completely drain Earth's resources very, very quickly. Hooray!
Well, sci-fi B-movie.
We'll find out next chapter. Again, this was like, are they heading towards an ending?
I have no idea.
Or was this always planned? I don't know.
Does he really just want to get to the human-insect interaction shit? And this is the quickest way to get there?
I think it's been on a knife edge for a little while now. I'm not even sure they were certain that what way they were going to go with it. Maybe they thought, we got some ideas. Is if you don't get cancelled, get to those faster, and then that'll probably give you a better shot of keeping on in the comic. So okay, let's get on to those straight away, and then
I'm still enjoying it still has jokes that I like. I like the fact that they keep having garden parties. It's just like the most fucking chill end of the world tournament ever. And Morgan showing up in the like the tackiest fucking I beat all of you outfit that I've ever seen. It's great.
when Mam and Dad love to entertain, you know, and but they bought the house for the back garden space, so for having guests over, so you know.
We got the big thing for making like the loads of pots of tea, so fucking we might as well have more people over. Like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, so It's the 6 years later thing, if that is the wish, makes me think that might be heading towards the ending. Like,
probably.
Because the line is from your bad boy insect. Is me, I want to stick with Sakura until she's all grown up, until she can do everything by herself. Which I would assume would be 6 years later. We shall see. There may be another gap. Or maybe it's going to breathe new life into it with a slightly different premise. I have not read any of my Owl Blood Oath ever.
I read half of the... two-thirds of the first chapter. And then again, if it's somebody's first one of these, they may enjoy it. But again, I've got two in the garage, don't need another one.
I read it, like, I am actually up to date. I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it. I'm just like, well, this is still here. Let me just have a fucking plow through it. I don't have a fucking clue. Like, the tone is all over the fucking place. Some super powerful guy came up and showed the vampire hunters where it's like, hey, I'm more powerful than you guys. And they're like, ooh, we better go home. He's like, bye. I'm going to take you and the bad guys you were fighting home to my mansion. I'm going to treat you right. And then I'm going to be act really nice. And it's like, hey, didn't you try and turn a child into like a vampire monster and make her eat her friend? Now I'm going to make my house eat you. Ha ha, I'm actually a bastard. And I'm like, what is this tone? Am I supposed to like this guy? Am I supposed to be scared of this guy? Mm. The vampire hunters were instantly fucking dealt with. I don't know. It's all over the place.
Well, vampires they have a fairly spotty record in terms of anime and manga, in terms of that kind of media. Whenever there might be like a secondary thing within that media, they're usually fine. There's just like one character or a couple of characters or one bit of a death family. When it's about vampires from the beginning through and through,
it's all then vampires and vampire hunters.
More varying results. Yeah. You get Vampire Hunter D, sure, but that's just like, you know, a film here and there. It's in and it's out, no problem. Yeah. You get long running things like, you know, okay, Blood of the Last Vampire, that was fine for the 40-minute OVA or whatever it was. When they made a whole series of that, it got a little bit more, you know, thinned out. Braced by reputation there. I mean, there was even like, you know, vampire things in there. Wasn't there one from a couple of years back? It was a gag one about the Salaryman vampire. I think that would have been a good fit for the comic. Would have been kind of fun, but didn't last long because the main thing was about vampires. Can't be the main idea. Got to have something else. Got to be like a secondary thing.
Or you got a wolfman in there or you're screwed.
Or you hide it very, very cleverly because Demon Slayer, Those are demons, right? They basically act like vampires. Well,
it's vampire.
When they bite somebody, they turn into another demon, i.e. another vampire. And you got to kill the head demon to save all the rest of people. So,
like a vampire.
And they can't go out in the daytime because they're demons. As long as you don't call them vampires, like, you're kind of like...
They're avoiding the curse.
Kind of like the film where it's a zombie film and zombies rise from the dead, but they don't call them zombies because in their dimension in this film, they don't have zombies as a concept. They haven't seen them in films or read them about them in books.
Oh, see, so like zombies came out of I Am Legend, and those were vampires, and that was a book, so it was fine. But if they don't call themselves vampires, they'll be okay. But then they made too many zombies, and then the vampire curse became the zombie curse. So we can't call them zombies. They're walkers or something. And it's the curse continues.
Even Tezuka's Don Dracula only lasted 3 volumes. and his vampires isn't really about vampires, if I remember correctly. They're more like werewolves.
Actually, hang on, I tell a lie. There was maybe an exception that proves the rule, at least in the current crop of Short and Jump games, because Seraph of the End is still there. That's all about vampires. But that's another thing. It's a squad-based thing where you get in the squad and you train and you, like, you know, probably go to a fake school to learn how to be in a squad and train to kill the vampires / demons / dinosaurs in the center of the earth, whatever you need it to be.
But it's a different take on it. Yeah.
Also, it doesn't run in Shonen Jump proper, does it? It runs in one of the other Shonen. One of the other jumps.
But the chapters come up on the app. So
yes, it, yeah. It's a monthly bundling thing. Yeah, it's not a weekly. It's also terrible. Really.
Well, the people love it.
Bounce my head off it. I will say I've just skimmed through that first chapter of Blood Oath. I think it's got decent art and
it's not bad looking. I find it like an easy fucking thing to get through. That's the only reason I've kind of kept up with it. Really.
Yeah, and Phantom Seer I did read the first chapter of, and that has good art. I would say the actual drawings in Phantom Seer are better than Our Blood Oath, but I think Our Blood Oath has better storytelling. in its panels around. Because I'm re-looking at this Phantom Seer one, and I was like, yeah, some of these panels are too busy.
And the I kind of like to see Phantom Seer. I'm keeping up with that as well. I'd like to see it as an anime because I feel like it would benefit from being cleaned up and would read cleaner if it was in motion. And the physicality of it, I feel like in motion it would look fucking gorgeous, potentially.
It's got a good hook there with the main dude who is the title of Phantom Seer, I suppose. He's such a little fecker. Such a little just do nothing bastard. And he had to really fucking twist his arm to get him to do anything for you. And they do get some good humor out of that.
They're kind of leaning on it now where it's like he's after this one demon and it's the one thing he will fucking go out of his way to do. It's the thing what made him not want to do the job. And I was kind of like, okay, so don't make him just like the show in here where I have to defeat evil because this is one fucking thing I gotta kill. And then
before going, God, fine, I'll do it. God, just leave me alone with your fucking nagging. This is really haunting. Sighing, woe is me shit.
Maybe I should go back to that. I'm looking at this first chapter again, and there's the drawings are quite, and there's some funny drawings in there as well.
Good faces. Very good faces.
I like his big shadow monster that he drew on there because it is just this mass of absolute darkness. It just has like the thing strapped to it, which gives it the illusion of a face, but it's actually this formless entity of complete shadow. That's kind of cool.
There's a monster that show up in the recent chapters. What's the sickle weasel? What's that thing called?
Kamaitachi.
Yeah. It's one of those like crossed with a human, and there's really like horribleness that they've done to like the human's face that appears to be like splitting apart, and the tail like is always in a spiral, which I'm like, I like that visual. The tail is in a spiral and it's like forming into a knife, and it again, it's just really nice art. It's one of the reasons I'm staying with that. I am enjoying it. Like you say, it's a little too busy sometimes. That's the worst I can say of it.
And then we got Undead Unlock. Chapter 46. See you in the here and now, which is a series I enjoy, and I could also make a similar complaint about its action not always being the easiest to follow.
It's a good thing it's mad as bastards. That is true. Sticking around for.
It's probably hard to follow because it is this weird and it is dealing with some very high concept shit right there. But you got to think about it for a couple of seconds before it sinks in. Particularly now.
We have to speak to Victor as he escapes the Pokeball he was trapped in last chapter.
Well, as they point out, it's like, he can easily escape from that. I got to talk to him now, so let's come on out, buddy. You know.
The fact that he comes out with half of it sitting on top of his head.
Yeah.
Also, he appears to have come out with a massive fucking boner.
Yeah.
By the way that's sent it. Which is a bit, I mean, like, I guess you need the blood to bust your way out of that, but I do like the fact she kicks him in the dick and then that sensor bar is like slightly cracked and he's like,
And
then he might be invincible, but he's still going to take a kick to the dick.
Like you're an invincible like Wolverine dude, but still a shot dick to the junk. Take him out for a couple of seconds at least.
I'm not used to seeing anything like that. And Andy's like, shouldn't you be used to seeing it by now? So I assume, yes, it was an erection, as opposed to it's not been an erection so far. When Andy's been frequently
just hangs on and lose the rest of the time.
Yes. They come to terms because he realizes that Unlock might be their chance to defeat and kill God once and for all.
Because he basically felt like, okay, we can't get God because God is an unattainable thing, but you just show me that you could evolve your power to specifically make Unlock related directly to me. You made a plane crash on me, sure, that's normal, but you made a crash on me and a thing fall out that would be the one thing that could catch me in that Pokeball. And I was like, that's Unlock. Because you studied me, you knew that that would be a weakness of me. So your Unlock was specifically against me. And I was like, so if you study God, you can find out how to fucking unlock him up.
And I was like, she's showing signs of like how to rest and remember being able to use their rubricing ability in a variety of different ways. Between Andy just himself using his just to fire off bits of himself like a rocket punch. But within that rocket point, there's something else, and then it explodes into different things. Even just like doing different techniques and different kind of spins in it, fucking doing basically the fucking the gum elephant real gun fucking thing instead. So it's like if we can train our rules, then your seemingly random rule, which is like cause down misfortune whenever, can also be trained to hone in on certain things. So this kind of interesting kind of. Again, it's really good at this taking these are the parameters, and there's actually kind of completely mad shit going on. It reminds me a little bit of that board game Cosmic Encounter, where there is set rules for the game. You got to expand your alien empire to control the entire galaxy, and you play as one of where many races. But the thing about it is that each race has got its own special ability that completely breaks the rules. And it's more or less a fair game in most cases because everybody is playing as a race that is able to break the rules in their own way.
Mm.
So that makes it a balancing thing. And how you kind of think about scenarios, how you could resolve them with your particular way of breaking the rules is interesting. It's very JoJo style. This is the way things work. You know, this doesn't operate in under normal parameters at all, but it does it in this one particular way. And it seems very limiting. It seems very banal and stupid sometimes. But if you think about it this way, it's completely bananas. Rife potential. It could do X, Y, and Z. It's about how you apply that rule to the situation. For kind of interpreting the legalese of the whole thing, trying to find the loophole in the power.
Yeah, I mean, you still have more mysteries because she doesn't go to 1865 like Andy suggests to find out why he's got 1865 written on his chest. And we still don't quite really know how Victor is Andy and Andy is Victor and in which order that occurs and how the blade in his head, the card in his head holds him back.
Well, I mean, it's the card in his head seems to be just like, okay, if I pull this out, then my brain will heal. And if it heals, I'm Victor. But if it doesn't heal, I'm Andy, which is like a weird loophole in having a fucking thing jammed in your brain. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's still
1865 a date as well.
Because Andy suggests that she should go there, but instead she wants to talk to. Because he's like, did you make it to 1865? About that, Victor ended up driving me away. In that case, you should go, well, you got a chance. But instead, she talks to Victor. And then kisses Andy and leaves the book they've been in, because that's the thing that you have to also remember. Is that
there have been a book that is the book of his life. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just talked to Huiz as well, because she was there as well all the time. She will know a lot of the same things I do as well. So maybe talk to her, who won't try and kill you as soon as she sees you.
Because his plan was he loved her, but he didn't. Victor's plan was he loved her, but he didn't want her to suffer in this crazy plan and trying to kill God over and over again. So he's going to kill her.
Yes.
True love.
But that makes completely.
It made sense to him. Yeah,
sense
sure.
to him. That's again. Victor and Andy, you can see how they're. How that same brain can hold the same personality, because they do in the same way, they will go to a lot of lengths to try and help somebody who they love.
And they'll often do it in a very weird way, yeah, sure.
In a very strange way, yes. Usually involving getting naked, probably.
Naked or violence, or a combination of both, yeah.
And then, of course, when they get back, they've still got to deal with the Under, who've shown up.
Yeah.
Also want to kill God. Well, not the same thing. Yeah, but
just want to let it happen and just see how it goes. I'm not sure if they're aware this is happening under a loop or not.
And Billy does look exactly like Andy and Victor. So I don't know what's going on there as well.
It's such a weird comic, and I'm really just glad that there was room for this as well. On the surface, it feels like, oh, this is par for the course for a lot of these people, and say, no, there's a lot of these things here that's are just really out there, and it's really, if we had a more kind of top-down view of the whole thing of setting up.
And just like the things that were slightly off on the edges beforehand, where it's like there aren't stars in the sky, and you're like, wait, what? And it's like, we don't have seasons. They're like, what's a season? And it's like, it's so fucking strange that they have like,
yeah,
they are perfectly normal planet Earth, and it's like, hey, now everyone speaks one language. It's like, wait, what? Like, yep, there's only one language now.
And in terms of Andy's flash Victor, he's only really been around since the concept of death was introduced or disintroduced or probably reintroduced. Yeah. We don't know how many times it's been in and out or changed around. But it's like little things like that. Yeah, it's just, again, just very, very strange. Bizarre, one could almost say.
And that's it for the weekly stuff. There is another volume of Golden Kamuy up, though.
Cool.
Though it still does not take us past where the anime got us to.
Yeah. There's a bit of Spy Family in there occasionally every other month.
There was a new one this month, I think. Yeah,
yeah, a pivotal one as well, because it's finally getting close to the target of the operation.
Who's not what you expect exactly. Like, I did like, it was like, oh, sorry for my daughter hitting your son. It must have been a terrible burden. He's like, I don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
This fucking evil Hitler man face, and he's just like, no, don't worry about it, dude. It's cool. It's cool.
He's got. I know he's got like scars on the side of his head. I think of Ghetto in Jujutsu Kaisen. Is that somebody else that they've done something to his brain to make him act this way? Or I figure
like he's all kind of fucked up, and that's why they're showing like his like starry eyes and the shock of white hair running through and stuff. Like, he's seen some shit, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, there is no way he is the actual front for this possible plan for war with the other country. He's definitely just some, they're back up the wrong tree with him, definitely. So it was important plot chapter. This is like the son of him, Damien Desmond. He just wants to see his father one more time and get his approval. You know, he's so distant. Lloyd tries to do Masala and saying, oh, like your son came all about here as Eve as well. You know, he's real up to you. It's like, okay, tell him what for.
And he lays it out at the end where he's kind of saying, it's like, okay, so the dad and the son aren't very close, but if I can get the son close to the dad, then I can get at the dad through the son. You know, he's like, now to make this a happy family and my evil plan will come. And it's just like, it's pretty funny, but it's just like, yeah, he does try and help out Damien, and Damien does get to admit to his dad, is like, hey, I'm actually doing really good. And the dad is like, not, congratulations, sure, son, I'm proud of you. It's like, continue to not fucking disappoint me. Which is like, that's the closest he's gotten to a compliment so far. So progress?
Damien's happy with it. I said, that's the most words you've spoken to me in the last 2 years. That's pretty good.
Like, you can interpret that as like, he's not disappointed in me. That's a positive. Or at least it's not a negative, basically. Yeah.
It's two blokes in phone saying, way to go, boss. Yeah, we stood up to your dad there. but now it's kind of an odd thing where Lloyd's approach to trying to get close to Desmond and try and get more information out has kind of inadvertently going to align with what Anna's been doing, trying to help out Daddy, but saying, I'm going to be friends with Damien, this Scion boy of the big political dude, and I'm going to be friends with him and help Daddy. Like, yes.
to help, to be nice and good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still good. Again, I'm liking the kind of mind games he's playing and stuff. I did like the map of, I'll ask him this question. If he answers this way, I'll go to this behind him. And like, he has all this conversation planned out for multiple contingencies. Yeah, it's still good.
So the Golden Kamuy takes us up to the start of the Koito Kuroranki fight.
Oh, geez, okay.
And the seal coming out of the ice and saying, "Orf." which they both turn around to look at. there's also some lines in this. I'm like, were they in the anime, or what? Did I was just not paying attention? Where Sugimoto's relaying what Inkarmat had told him about why Kyoranki had Wilk shot?
No, they mentioned that in the anime. The
okay, Karama. I just yeah. missed that. Okay, good.
Kind of miss her. I must miss saying her name in Karamat. I don't know. That's just a satisfying thing that rolls off the tongue.
Mm. Yeah, from what I was reading, I wouldn't hold out for too much more of her.
Yeah, probably.
It's by the sounds of things, like her story is probably going to carry on taking. It will be riding off into the sunset, similar to our bare knuckle fighting friend.
Well, I mean, like, based off how you can go out in this, that's probably the best way for it, honestly.
Yeah, except I did on that Tumblr where they were reading various things into it. They were like, oh, yeah, they were like, maybe they will be back, and maybe Koito and the lads have doomed themselves by killing a tiger in the snow. Because it was bad luck, remember? And Kiraranki's name is tiger related.
Well, the wrath of Sophia be upon their heads then. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They were discussing whether we had actually seen the last of. What's his name?
Gansoku and Svetlana.
No, the. The guy who's in love with Inkarmat, away from the show. I can't remember his name anymore.
There's so many names.
The Hunter.
Your man.
Oh, Tanigaki.
Tanigaki, that's it, yeah.
I was completely lost her for a minute.
Yeah, I was lost for his name, yeah. So apparently they're not in the story much longer once they meet back up again.
I mean, like, if they can have a happy ending, that's fine. I prefer that to them to getting horribly fucking killed and just it being super sad, because I like all the characters in the show.
But yeah, I'm leaning towards Ogata redeeming himself by the end of the story.
I hate Ogata. I love to hate Ogata.
I know, but that's why I think he has
to. He's so interesting to watch. Definitely for me one of the most interesting characters in it.
I think,
at the heart of it, it's about violence and how people interpret it and react to it.
Yeah, he's very much so
are often
that.
Involved in it and how they rationalize it as well in the world that they live in.
How they live with it. Yeah.
And he's one of the most fun things because he's fucking basically a robot programmed to fucking think this way. And. Anything that happens without that, it just causes the phone short circuit and go crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, the mystery of we suddenly learn that he can speak Russian. In that last episode. Yeah. And you're like, what does that mean?
Is that a well traveled dude?
He is, yes. Is he a spy from Central? All along?
I did watch the OVA episodes of that because I was pining for a bit of content of that. I think I got the three of them. I watched three of them.
The fourth one's not fan subbed yet. So.
I gotta find those for myself. Yeah,
that was a fun one. The one of them it may upset you and disturb you because it shows Shiraishi being in his elements being a competent. Escaped convict.
Yes.
But it's being competent for a stupid Shiraishi reason, so don't be concerned.
No, that's fine. That's okay, yeah.
But it's nice to see him actually his ability to kind of analyze and able to find the faults in security procedures in various prisons and then thus formulate a plan to break out of them. Because he goes to that, on a fake hunger strike upon saying, I'm going to hunger strike because the conditions in here in this prison are terrible. I'm going to stand up for my prison brothers. He's actually starving himself because he's able to get thin enough to fit through the bars and escape. Because it was like an old style, Edo wooden jail, big kind of like what you've been seeing in the Wild Hunters in One Piece, for example. This is like big, thick wooden columns rather than the, traditional, iron bars or whatever like that. You just kind of slip straight out through those in various times in various prisons, which you don't always see the plans from, but it is cool to see him out there and tell him his whole story. Then the guys go in, this story was bullshit, I'm going to bed. She was like, what do you expect? It's Shiraishi.
I think the American dude will show up again in the story, or at least be mentioned in the story again, in the story with the gambler and the car.
Yeah.
from my understanding. Because I was saying to Dwayne last week that there's a massive bit missing in that last episode where Koito gets clonked on the head. And I believe in the comic, that's when we go into his backstory. But we've also had to have a little side excursion to, I think, some hot springs where some members of the 7th Division we've never met before are, because some of them will show up in Koito's backstory.
But yeah, like pacing-wise, it wouldn't have made sense to do that at the end of this season. It'll make sense to do it at the start of next season.
Yes, I'm wondering whether it'll be in the start or whether it'll be wedged into another OVA. But
Could be. Yeah.
It was nice that it went back over the Kirarenke Ogata sort of Shiraishi group. How they also were in like the Russian sauna and got on
had sexy adventures.
It's a similar stupid adventures as the group who was trying to track them. Like, oh, I went through all that as well. You just didn't see it. We just had to cut
they're
it out.
All speech. Himbos. That's fine.
Righty ho. Let's see what is coming around the corner about to ambush us this week. Probably this weekend specifically.
If it come this week, we might be able to prepare for it better. But no, all at once. Come on, lads.
What is out?
That is true. Let's have a look at the old show's release calendar on Crunchyroll. Don't Call Us a Junk Game. That's a continuing thing. That's from the 90s. Nothing new seems to be up yet. That's the first episode of season 2 of that Horse Girl show.
Sure.
That's it so far on Crunchyroll.
Skate Leading Stars. Is this ice skating? Water skating? Or skateboarding?
That was the thing that kept catching me as well.
I believe it's like a made-up skating sport.
Yeah.
Let me log into this so I can see. So log in with Google.
Is there any reason that I would want to look at this?
If there's anyone on it, I'm not sure, yeah.
It's the Code Geass director. I'm not sure I want to look at that. But this is something that you can't possibly turn into Code Geass again, so it might be... See what kind of range it has.
I think Funimation also have suppose a kid from The Last Dungeon Boonies moved to a starter town.
No.
No, I mean, I like the premise, but then I looked at the character designs and I was like...
If that was the premise, fine, but that's the title, Brian.
it is both the title and the premise. You're not getting surprised.
No, if the premise is the title, you're doing poorly.
anything with titles like that and premises like that should be guilty until proven innocent.
It's a step
for saving time, really, because
it
sounds kind of cute. It could be fun. Its potential is there. I'm not confident that potential
is there. It's walking back a bit from Isekai. It's walking slowly back towards Slayers. And once it gets to Slayers, it'll start walking back to the Lotus War.
It's hard to go on to interpret every last bit of that premise in terms of this is just like being in a video game. If one said yes, but there are other kinds of fantasy, there are other kinds of fucking books and fucking things, for God's sake.
There's other kinds of video games.
I mean, it works. It doesn't look like Guru Guru. That's the thing. Guru Guru is it well executed. But I will say the premise is fine. It's the idea of somebody who's told, don't leave your village, it's too dangerous. But it turns out that his village is like the most dangerous place in the world. So therefore, if he leaves his village and goes to the safest place in the world, he's actually an amazing fighter.
It's a thing when you like go back to the starting area in the RPG and you're leveled up. It's when you're playing Symphony of the Night and you got to go to that area and you get your ass handed to you trying to get through it. But then you go through it and you go to the upside down castle and you go back there to find the heart container and now you can access it and you're beating the shit out of these dudes.
Yeah, but it as a premise it's fine, but let's face it, there's a show coming back this season which really thinks much harder about these sort of things. We've got
one Dragon Quest is right there.
Yes.
It's giving me that kind of the fucking straight into the veins.
Do you want to do like a version of an idea based on Dragon Quest, or just fucking Dragon Quest? You could just, it's right there. It's just the Dragon Quest.
Also, as you mentioned, is this Magical Circle Guru or close to it? Is it better than that? No. In that case,
and it's
I just watch Guru again.
And it's also probably not going to be better in terms of thinking things in a video game world as Log Horizon Season 3 is. Because that is the show which thinks the hardest about what is a world if it was a video game like, and how can you actually game that system. Other side, Picnic, that's also in Funimation.
Picnic.
That's another light novel.
Not about a video game though. It's about survival.
On Thursday, we've got Heaven's Design Team.
All right, that's been Yonks coming out, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that's the aforementioned Michiko Yokote scripts. That's the aforementioned, like, that's probably going to be a lot funnier than Mr. Esamatsu is. You've got Beastars Season 2, but that'll be in Netflix quarantine. A bunch of stuff based on video games. Laid Back Camp, was that one of yours, or was I'm thinking of something else? I'm thinking of the
that belonged to Twitter.
Does belong to, I think it belongs to our co-host for when we do Year's Best Anime. What we got here? We've got another David production. I don't think this was on here when I looked earlier. 243 Saiyan High School Boys Volleyball Team. Don't know anything about that, but its title explains pretty much what it's about. It's about a high school boys.
JoJo forever, lads. Come on. that Fire Force series 2 has been pretty alright whenever dipping into it. I still prefer some Stone Ocean. Where are you at, lads?
When is that event?
It's in March.
March. Okay. So when this finishes, this is 12 episodes. So it'll be finishing in March. Promised Neverland Season 2. You've got.
You know, I'm so happy with how that thing ended, and the chapters keep coming up to remind me. You think I'd go back and watch this first season?
This is one that's going to try and draw you in, because the writer of it is going to put together a original scenario for the animated TV series. So it could be like a few episodes in the middle there where some you won't have seen the comic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we got Quintessential Quintuplets too. I think we know. I've not even read those comics bought.
If you say so.
You got a double bill of Cells at Work. You've got Cells at Work, also from David Production. And then you've got Cells at Work, Code Black from Leiden Films, half an hour later. So I believe that's the one where they're in the body of an unhealthy middle-aged man.
And the genders are reversed, so now the red blood cell is a dude and the white blood cell is a lady.
Okay, another light novel about a gamer. Another light novel which I'm tempted to watch because the trailers did kind of make it look fun. So, I'm a spider. So what?
I like the fuck you about its title. I'll give it that, yeah. Yeah, I'm a light novel. Fuck you.
They've been pushing that pretty hard ever since they acquired it. So it's like a little bit, fine, I will look at it as one time so you will stop fucking showing it to me. Or find out why you're showing it to me. I know, of course, because you got money put into this thing, but
yeah,
it could be all right.
We've got Idols, which I don't know what has no synopsis available, it says. Looks like it's CG. Back Arrow. Apparently January the 8th, which is this week. And it's on Funimation. And who is this by? It's by somebody who we'd be interested in, I do believe, if I remember correctly. You value my privacy, cookies.
Thank you.
Oh, this is the Code Geass guy as well.
Oh.
Goro Tanigaki. Also, of course, your Planetess guy and your Scryed guy.
World Trigger has come back for a second season. Even though the comic is only here and there.
Something called Scar on the Praetor, a mixed media project. Okay. It's a bunch of cool dudes standing in a quarry.
Cool.
Skate the Infinity. I think that was on my radar.
Skate Infinity.
That's the new Bone series. Can't remember would the last Bone series be Bungo Stray Dogs? They must have done something in between.
Well, lucky you've tuned in for this season, Brian, because you've got Bungo Stray Dogs 1.
That's true. The
gag version of Bungo Stray Dogs.
Yep.
Being done by Bone Studio, not some cheapo tie-in thing.
Exactly, yes. So
making it legit.
Not some paper cutout Flash animation.
Well, Flash is discontinued, so they got to do something else.
If you want something cheap, you look 2 days earlier for X-Arm.
the CG animation made by people who've never done animation before.
No! It's so good. It is... Oh, how the hell did this get past so many layers of people signing off on it? I have no...
Because there was no layers there. Earthly notion. It was a bunch of people who don't do animation having a go at it.
There's always more and it's always worse.
I don't know anything about this Kimono Jihen manga, but the trailer for the anime looked quite good, I think. When a series of animal bodies that rot away after a single night begin appearing in a remote mountain village, Inugami, a detective from Tokyo who specializes in the cult, is called in to investigate.
And probably get a cleaner in first, honestly.
Yeah. Anything else of note? Oh, True Cooking Master Boy Season 2. Didn't have the time to finish watching the first season, even though I did enjoy what I saw.
Yeah.
We've got Wave! Let's Go Surfing!
Not listen sure. to me.
Mm. No. Okay.
I think the don't just jumps on me was because I haven't seen Ride Your Wave yet, and think, oh yeah, I keep conflating them in my head. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. We got Dr. Stone Stone Wars.
Yeah,
that'll be.
Oh, is that a new thing or
on the 14th or the 13th?
Yeah, 14th.
A little later.
It's not for next week. It's for the week after.
It'll be the week after. Yeah.
Yeah.
As will Bungo Stray Dogs 1 and X-Arm. So we're all going to watch... No, X-Arm sneaks in. That's on the Sunday, I think. So.
Oh, okay.
So if you really want to watch something terrible for the sake of watching something terrible, you can't stop staring at a car crash. That's where the car crash is happening.
The trailer is enough. The trailer is enough.
It looks like a lot of things might have dropped off into the next... Oh, or they might be on the net animation page. Log Horizon, Destruction of the Round Table. Annoyingly, I have not finished watching Season 2.
All of the net ones are Chinese co-productions, except for Cute Executive Office.
See, the ones I've got, you've got Obsolete, which apparently is out already. I've seen the weird parody trailer thing. These might be. There's Oh Suddenly Egyptian God, which we've always started watching. Cute Executive Officer, which is on High Dive. That was the thing I've watched some of, and I might talk about the rest of it next week. Because I'm sure of what it's about half an hour, and it's 13 to 14 episodes within that half an hour single block.
Oh.
It's about a five-year-old girl who is the CEO of a company or president of a company.
Well, like a boss baby, you might say.
A boss baby, yes, you might say. It's short gag manga adapted about that. And it's quite up my street from what I've seen so far.
Oh, it's nice to see like a high dive getting something.
Yes, that's something it.
Current,
yeah.
You know. I mean, it's fine being the old Tatsunoko Show machine for me, but again, something that's actually on call, like, oh yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, my hope is like, oh, maybe if once Funimation or decide, oh, we're not going to start picking up some of these weird things Crunchyroll picks up, then that might give High Dive more opportunity to pick up.
Swoop in, yeah.
Weird and then Dale takes Bano and continue.
Yeah. Yes!
Oh, because I scroll down to that place to the ongoing series tab and it says Bano is just there to mock me. My face.
It's still going on, isn't it?
It is.
There are so many comics to that they can adapt and so many original stories they can tell with these same characters anyway. You taunt me.
Mm.
There is something called... Actually, this has already started, probably already fully aired. Zetsumetsu Kigushun, anime based on the Zetsumetsu Kigushun character brand that follows the over 3,000 endangered species in the world.
Oh.
There is also... I'm sure there's another thing of note... Oh, of course, Vlad Love. There we go. That's coming in February. Yeah. As previously mentioned. I think everything else are OVAs. Yeah, so I've got sneaking suspicion some things have disappeared and are going to show up later in the year, which is probably for the best, as we discovered last year. Certainly giving yourself more time.
They'll probably be
good.
Healthier for it, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, both, like, actually healthy and, like, better shows for it as well.
Oh, there's this new...
It's manageable enough, maybe. I think coming into this, it's the impression I got was going to be, like, a lot. Like, almost too many things, as is usually the case. But I think it might have just by virtue, quote-unquote, of current events, they've been kicked down the road a little bit. It's all right.
There's something here called Suna and Manu in the Peculiar Desert, which centers on the everyday life of cats Suna and Manu, who live in a desert made of sugar instead of sand, and apparently is going to run for 50 episodes.
promises.
So somebody pick that up because it sounds tags slice of life. I also saw on Twitter that Scolding Cat webcomic is getting 30-second anime episodes on to be aired probably at random on a TV channel somewhere.
This is in the middle of the ad break.
Quite possibly, yeah. I do like that, and also it terribly cuts to the terribleness of my life when I see that each week, and it's like the cat who scolds people who fold up their washing and then don't put it away, as I sit here staring at a pile of unfolded washing or folded washing which is unput away.
Hey, just throw drying on the radiator, okay? I'll put them away when they're fully dry, because you can't put them into the tumble dryer, okay? Care of your garments that last longer.
People who fall asleep.
I got a very busy schedule of pottering around the kitchen, not getting nothing done, all right? Don't fucking hassle me.
Another one was cat who scolds people who fall asleep with their glasses on. I was like, God damn it, cat, leave me alone.
the pain of kind of discomfort of having the marks in your face when you do wake up is punishment enough, cat.
Yeah.
Jesus, who's the cat think they are? Let him tell anybody how to live.
I can't
think they've seen, like, you know, as well. When you see your dog and cat, 90 seconds.
Oh, you see those merchandise I put in the message on Twitter for there's cat and dog merchandise.
Oh, I see. I saw that.
Oh. Yes.
You can't buy merchandise of her dead dog, can you?
Not as far as I could tell. The stuff I found was the cat dressed as the dog.
Yeah.
And the dog dressed as the cat. And there was like loads of other stuff. Most of it was order ended, though you could still order the cat dressed as the dog, and he really does not look like he wants to have been dressed as the dog.
That's what you want, though. In character.
He's got quite the sour face on him. So that'll be back next week. Jujutsu Kaisen will be back. Dragon Quest is back.
Moriarty will be back as well.
No, it's back in April.
That's
in April.
Getting a big.
That was the thing which confused me last week.
Yeah.
And I looked at Wikipedia and it said it's back in April.
Oh, it definitely had a next episode preview.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like, and coming next time.
I mean, maybe it's back, but that's what I read on Wikipedia, that it's the second half of the series is in April. Detective Conan's back, though, with canon material. Yeah.
We didn't have to wait a couple of years this time.
No, just 3 months. And it'll be like none of those other middling episodes have ever happened. I don't think they left us on a cliffhanger, so I think it's fine. They can.
I was really amused the last time where it was like, hey, remember that trip we were on years ago? I do remember that.
Just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more sort of, why is Shinichi never around type storyline. Also, a murder has happened.
Whenever there's lots of excitement, he's nowhere to be found.
Righty-ho, that wraps up. Don't expect this Shonen Junk talk. Shonen Junk? No, Shonen Jump. I said Junk because I've still got this thing open which says Don't Call Us a Junk Game in front of me. And you know me, I can't resist reading a word which is right in front of my eyes.
This pin number.
Never write your pin number down. That's your New Year's tip from Brian. What day are we meeting next week, Niall?
What indeed? What the fuck am I working right now? I think I'm back to regularly scheduled shit patterns. So that would be Wednesday the 13th.
Okay, we're back for Lucky 13 next week. Thank you very much for joining us if you're on the stream. And thanks very much for listening to us if you're listening to the podcast. Yeah, we'll be back
again, everybody.
Next week. Take care. Stay in your homes.
Stay safe.
Leave the house again.
If there's not anime to watch, there's comics to read. There's plenty to fucking do and keep you entertained. Read comics. While you're trapped inside.
Read books. No, read anything you want. It doesn't just have to be comics. Read anything you want. It's grand. Cool. Read a new recipe and do something. New recipe. Nice.
I know a lot of people have bought more Steam games than they had time to play. Fucking crack one of them on. Fuck
this
it.
Is
go for it.
This is your time.
I will say I'm glad I'm old enough that is not a habit I can feel like I can ever develop, is the going crazy in a Steam sale.
Like, I haven't done it badly, but there's definitely games I've bought that I have not played. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm that way as well, but usually it's like, oh, this came free with the subscription this month, I'll just put that on there, and I might, when I eventually get tired of this big game I'm playing on my current console, I'll just move that to one side and install this one, because I've got a paltry amount of storage space on my console. All these games take, like, you know, 1.5 times your capacity to fucking install a thing to play it on. But that's, you know...
Yeah, and weirdly they've started, those PS Plus games have weirdly started forcing you to download some of them, I've noticed, rather than just add them to your library.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's with the new PlayStation, like that's going to be like the standard model, you just download straight away.
Unless you can do it somehow if you go on the web. But then they're trying to stop you from using the web one, aren't they? Because you can still buy PS3 games in the store, but only if you go in the store via the PS3 anymore. You can't buy them by going on the web. Anyway, this is a video game podcast. If you want to go and learn about what I think about video games, you can go to my video game website. But until then, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
I won't say what my video game website's called on this.
Yeah, no, don't. Let them find out for themselves.
I think they know. If they don't know, then they should know.
I very rarely share it because I'm pretty sure I lose followers on Twitter every time I share it.